Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. Yes.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. Last night in the NBA, the Cavaliers picked up their first road win of the postseason, taking a 3-2 series lead over the Pistons. Cleveland trailed by as many as 15 points and was down 9 with just over 3 minutes remaining before rallying to force overtime. The Cavs completed the comeback with a 117-113 win and will return home for Game 6 tomorrow night at 7 p.m. In baseball, the Guardians defeated the Angels 4-2 yesterday and will return to action tomorrow as they host the Reds. Cincinnati fell to the Nationals in extra innings 8-7 and is back on the field today with first pitch scheduled for 12:40. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. News team, assemble. Rothman and Ice. The boys are back in town. Guess who just got back today? Those wild-eyed boys that had been away. Good to see you, my man. Glad you're amongst the living.
What up, what up? It is good to be seen. It's good to be back. More importantly for me, AR, it is just good to feel better. Because your boy was down bad for
gut
about
punch.
72 hours coming out of Sunday night. So, yeah, it was a rough ride. Shout out to Adam King. Shout out to Bobby for holding it down. Shout out to you as well for holding it down, too, man. So, yeah, man, it's good to be back. And feeling a lot better today.
All right, listen, we were heading the series. We could load manage a little bit. We're good now. TLC's at the switches. He's back. So this is the off season. Welcome to the off season.
Yeah, I heard old TLC. He made a little appearance on the IL list yesterday too.
What was going on with
that's
him?
That's a DTD.
Okay. Day to day.
Yeah, we didn't put him on the IL. You were on the IL. What do they do? They say that retroactively to a certain date, we could activate you at any time. You could come off the DL.
Okay.
TLC is one of those where you're not, you know, you're turning in the lineup card. You're looking on your fantasy lineup and that guy says DTD. And so we're not sure if he's playing or not. We're not even sure if he's available to pinch hit.
I was an unhealthy scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then he's definitely not playing. I thought maybe he'd be available to, quote, pinch hit. Maybe not play a full game, but you guys are back, and I'm glad to have you, so that's cool.
Yeah, so if you needed me as a guest yesterday, I could have called in.
Could have phoned in.
AR, I don't know if you want to lay out the menu or anything, because I have, when I was down and I could not get out of bed, I did watch two movies that I could not wait to ask you about. And the two movies that I watched, and start to finish, completed them, Casino in No Country for Old Men.
Okay. The No Country for Old Men is about as suspenseful as any movie I've seen. Casino is, well, now you're going to be looking at every friend you say, call it. Here's the thing with Casino. I really like it. Casino is a very, very well done movie. I can't do the ending. I can't do the, and there's so much more gore involved in that movie. There's two very, very tough scenes in that movie that I DVR kind of scroll past now. I've seen it once. I don't need to see that part again.
Squishing.
I don't need to see the vice. I don't need to see the, and I don't need to see the end. And so, all right, give me your thoughts on both.
Sharon Stone, just the ultimate blank up.
But
in the movie,
tremendous actor.
She did an
probably
awesome
one
job.
Of her greatest Yeah.
She did an awesome job.
Yeah.
Joe Pesci, incredible in that, as well as the hitman that kind of feels like he was a little bit of the forgotten man.
You haven't seen Goodfellas. It's essentially he's playing his role in Goodfellas.
He has a tremendous line in the movie where he tells the guy, "I'll knock you upside your head. You'll go in, you know, into a coma. I'll go to jail. Come out. When you come out of the coma, I'll knock you in your head again." Like Joe
Just
Pesci,
when you're
incredible.
Coming out, I'll be there again.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. It was an incredible line. So Sharon Stone, while I was not a fan of her character, her acting skills.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Yep.
No Country for Old Men. Finishing that movie, AR, if I ever, and I mean, if I ever stumble across a bag of cash somewhere, I now know never to take that cash. Because I don't want to live that life of having a hitman hunt me down from motel to motel, city to city, the way that that guy
with
did
some
in that
ready-made
movie.
Garden hose
just
type,
firing off the handles of doors,
Javier
just like a silencer.
Is
incredible,
as good as it of villains in movies.
Oh man,
he's basically, I would say, the unmasked Michael Myers. Like the way he's hunting him down, it reminds me of Michael Myers in Halloween.
He's kind of at his own pace. You know, at a certain point in time, he will find you, and he will take you out.
Maddie, just call it right, and you'll be fine.
So I got
had a 50-50
chance. Yeah, the
coin
flip, you got a 50-50 chance. So I knocked those two out,
okay,
and I'm going to work my way around that era of time. That movie's in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s that are hits.
Early 2000s for...
I'm going to knock those out. So you're good with Casino and No Country for Old Men. You're signing off on those.
Yeah, those are very good. I would... It wasn't one... No Country for Old Men, I certainly probably should have recommended to you. Casino is one of those late in the run of great gangster movies that I would like you to see some previous to that.
Okay. And then I'm kind of like, oh, so Al Pacino, like, he just... was lucky that the car he was in on that
De Niro.
Side of the vehicle. I'm sorry, Robert De Niro. On that side of the car that he was in, you could survive that blast.
Sure. It was that type of car.
Sure.
It had that steel plate. Yeah. It gave you an extra second or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then No Country for Old Men, not seeing the main character go out as an off-screen murder was a bit of a head-scratcher for me as well. To where you just find him in the hotel. Like, we know people are
Josh Brolin's character.
Yes, Josh Brolin. Mm-hmm. We don't see that happen on screen, which I think is a little bit of a swing and a miss. That I guess some of the cartel members or whoever it was, you see them coming out of that motel parking lot, and then he's just there dead? I think we deserve to see that.
Maybe so. He had a long journey of escaping him, evading him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on. We got to see that happen. But those are my only two questions about both movies.
How jarring at the end. How jarring, though, and I won't give, was the, you feel like he's just driving along at the end and then just gets absolutely T-boned.
Like, okay.
Like, there's some jarring moments in that movie, but it's really good.
Yeah, two good movies for sure. For sure.
Woody Harrelson's character is pretty good in that movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, in the hotel.
Agreed.
And Kelly MacDonald, who plays Brolin's wife, she's trying to do her best of, like, the coin doesn't have any feelings. Like,
he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care.
He comes out on that porch and you know what happened.
He was basically
in
saying
house.
It was your husband made a choice.
Correct. Like, I gave your husband a chance to save you.
How about knowing that at the end? The double whammy. All right. Well, it's good to have you back, and I'm glad while you were down, you knocked out a couple of movies.
Figured I might as well do something in your honor.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
There's a difference between hosting a radio show and watching a movie. I've always said that. There is. No, I mean, the energy that it takes. I'm serious.
No,
there are times where you're home thinking, you know what, I might be able to host today. And then you get in, you do one segment, you're like, I'm done.
We were talking about that one day, and I forget what story it was that led us down that path. Like, hey, if you were, I don't know, doing this job or something in the public eye, if you will, can you be seen out in public when you're, quote, sick? And so you'll be proud of me. Everything was delivered to the door, from medicine to chicken noodle soup to everything. I did not go anywhere because I had your voice in the back of my mind.
Saying what?
You can't be seen in public when you're sick.
Yes, we did have that.
You can't be sick and seen?
Correct. You can't be sick and seen.
I think you could go out and get yourself some food. It's not the greatest thing from... maybe if you didn't do it from noon to three, you'd be okay.
As far as radio goes, you are one of the most, and I know that we're on YouTube now and all that stuff, but you are still one of the most undercover personalities that we have here.
Did you just call him the undercover brother?
He did. Did you do that on purpose? Because that would have been a great call. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Okay.
And the undercover brother. I don't know what you meant by that, but
no, it's a good movie. Basically, Leon, my boy. It wasn't my boy from. Who am I thinking of? From The Ladies' Man. It wasn't him, right?
Rob Schneider?
It's Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin. What movie am I thinking of now?
Basically, I think you just called Maddie the undercover brother.
Chris Kattan?
Yeah.
Anyway, where were you going before we...
I don't know. I was going to say something. I was going to say that like you have kind of like a low-key, low-profile outside the station. You like to just kind of do your own thing. I think you could get away with it.
Okay.
I don't think... You know, like it's not going to be like Anthony Rothman at the memorial where everybody knows him.
It's facts.
He caught a stray.
All right, I'm
calling you popular. That's not an insult.
It is.
I'm just saying, I think Ice, like as far as people who do this job, I think he like tries to keep a low-key profile. So I think he can blend in with the commoners.
So basically you didn't want Maddie not playing the game and smiling on the bench.
We are never going to stop talking about Devin Royal, are we?
I never thought it was that big of a deal.
Devin Royal laughed at it. That's all it was. I don't care if he's sick.
The difference is, if you have a tweaked ankle, you're allowed to smile. If you have the flu, you can't smile. That's it. There are certain illnesses.
Says who?
I'm just saying, from an optic standpoint, tweaked ankle, you can be joking and laughing. Everybody knows you can't go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the flu or a fever... You probably shouldn't be near anybody, number one. And number two, you shouldn't be laughing and smiling. That's all. I think everyone would agree with that.
So you just want him to have the stank face for three straight hours on the bench is what you just mean mugging everybody.
Be on the bench. Oh. I have a fever. I can't play. Watch the game from the locker room.
So he's not allowed to laugh when one of his teammates says something funny next to him?
No, according to AR.
He can. Why? I get dragged into this stuff. I say something so... Get the innocuous. I say something so nothing.
I like that.
And it's like.
I do too. Fire it off. It's a good word.
You know.
Innocuous.
Yeah. Let me get the definition of that.
Language of origin.
Innocuous. Describes something that is not harmful, offensive, safe, harmless, unlikely to produce a strong negative reaction.
Any alternative definitions?
I say something so innocuous and then get dragged into something. What did you want? You want it in a sentence? What do you want?
Yeah. Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Although the snake looked dangerous, it was actually innocuous.
I think that you got to say innocuous in between everything. You got to say innocuous. Definition? Innocuous. Language of origin? Innocuous. Can you use it in a sentence? You just got to keep saying it to buy yourself time. There's got to be a shot clock on that sport. By the way, not a sport. I don't know why ESPN ever aired that. Anyway.
All right, we're going to get to it today. We got Jeremy Birmingham, 1 o'clock today. We'll talk Buckeyes with him. We'll have our friend Pete Futek, 2:30, collegefootballnews.com, get into the potential of the playoff. We do have an athletic claim that we need to break down on today's show at some point.
Okay.
And the Cavs last night, this was the ultimate comeback slash choke by the Pistons. Which side are we on, and how big of a deal is it? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Cheetah Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at Muirfield Village as we get set for next month's Memorial, plus SI.com's Bob Herrig from the PGA Championship at Aronimink.
Cheetah Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. We'll see a partly sunny day today and cool with breezy winds and temperatures in the mid to low 60s. Skies turn mostly clear tonight as lows plunge into the upper 30s to low 40s, but we end the work week mostly sunny and it will be a tad warmer as our daytime highs get into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real, The Fan. Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion. Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to this is Rothman and Ice.
We just made big plays. We're down 8, down 9. I think that stretch right there, you know, says a lot about our progress, mental performance, progress, you know, mental toughness, progress. Kept at it. Evan Mobley, huge plays. Max Drews, huge plays. And then regulation didn't end great. And these guys, like, they never get down, right? Like, just like, you know, great demeanor, great leadership from Donovan and Evan and James.
I don't think that's lip service. I think Coach Atkinson is absolutely correct. And this is not a glaze. This is an absolute factual statement. They were down at half. They got out rebounded late in the third on the defensive glass. They still found a way. He mentions Strus. He's right. He caught fire. Mobley caught fire. This is a team. There are a half a dozen or more guys that can shoot from three on this team. And they just exploded again in the second half. Now, they got down late, and he's talking about a time. Like, try to reverse it. Let's say your emotions are out of it. You're not rooting for either team, and you're just watching this two bland uniforms. You have no idea. One team goes up 9 with 2:50 to go. Now, I know smaller shot clock, and you can't just squeeze the life out of the ball. You have to. But all I saw were the Pistons just deciding, we're going to just shoot from three, or we're going to take some jumpers. We're not going to get to the rim. We're not going to force the Cavs to defend. We're going to shoot, and if we make, we win the game. If we lose, if we don't, we don't. And that's exactly what happened. I thought the Pistons were coached very poorly. You probably predicted I would say that. You cannot let that lead get away. You cannot be that team.
Where is that ranking for you right now in your pet peeves in sports? Blown leads. Because I feel like it's in your top three. Missed tackles for sure is in your top three right now. That's safe to say?
Missed tackles are okay. Missed tackles where you don't bring your arms to the party, big pet peeve.
That's in your top three.
I'm going to blow him up instead of actually wrapping him up. And I'm always okay with, by the way, that's a timing thing. Separate man from ball, you have to do that. Yeah. I love that's a big part of the game. Once he has the ball, you might want to use your arms.
Fair. All of that.
But back to the Pistons. And I say this knowing that he's exactly right. They never gave up, and they had to hit big shots. And they got a favorable call at the end, which is okay. It happens. It was an incidental trip. They probably should have called it. If this was reversed, would I be coming here yelling they didn't call it? If the Cavs were the ones that were on the wrong side of that, diving for a ball, and they got tripped, I'd say exactly the same thing. I watched it 15 times. They probably should have called it. By letter of the law, that's a trip. Did he mean to do it? No, it was a loose ball. Probably should have done it. Pistons were shooting free throws. They probably win the game. But you cannot take anything away from Cleveland in that they seized an opportunity that the Pistons allowed them to have. And that's why it's a great comeback.
Yes, yes, 100% right in that, AR. And I just think this Cavs team at the moment has found something they've been looking for a little bit here. And that is uber confidence. I think they've been confident along the way. That Toronto series, they got pushed, right? When you look at what the Raptors were able to do. But you start off this series with two losses in a row, and now you've won three. And the way that you just won this one, I think is going to up that confidence level to the max for the next game tomorrow night at home. And so down the stretch, well, let's start with the play, because I think you brought up a critical moment there. I think there was a lot going on in that sequence. It could have been potentially a foul from Thompson on Mitchell, where Mitchell's got the ball. Potentially.
It's a good slap.
That's what I say. Yeah. Potentially. Nothing crazy ball there. And then you get to the Allen and Thompson back and forth, if you will. I don't know if you thought maybe there was a little bit of contact from Thompson to Allen with his left arm in that situation mm-hmm. that maybe could have been called. Yeah. I think the whole thing was ticky-tack-ish, the entire sequence. I'm glad that there wasn't a call on Thompson on Mitchell, and I'm glad that there wasn't a call on either
Fair.
Thompson or Allen with their back and forth there, too. Because I just didn't think that there was necessarily anything that was egregious.
Yeah, listen, he didn't intentionally trip him. It happened. Probably is a whistle. Most of the announcers, analysts said probably a whistle.
And that raises the question here. This is what I was going to ask you. Does that fall in the category of it's the playoffs, let them play? Do you like
no,
that in sports?
I don't think it was the playoffs. I think it was. No, I'm a big fan of call it the way you should call it.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation. This one was almost, it was the incidental part of it that I think, and you brought up the other, the first half of it, and they probably really didn't see it perfectly. Now, you would know this better than I do. The NBA seems like now they go back and look at everything. Challenges, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So why you can't go back and look at that in the last 2 seconds of a game?
I'm pretty sure that is the case. Right. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Go ahead, Edgar.
No, I was going to say, like, look at the stuff that the Cavs handed the Pistons so much of their own medicine last night. There were two shot clock violations by Detroit in the end of that game mm-hmm. in regulation based on great Cavs defense. Mm-hmm. That's Detroit's calling card. I talked yesterday about how I was worried that they would get home cooking. That's the way the series has gone. Look at the free throw discrepancy in the last game. Mm-hmm. Bickerstaff was even talking about it. He was setting the tone for this game. You know what the fouls were in this game? Detroit 26, the Cavs 16. The free throws, the Cavs were 31 for 38 at the line. It was almost a carbon copy of the last game, and Detroit was 18 to 20. So they both had decent field free throw percentage, but the Cavs got to the line 18 more times.
Yeah, it's massive.
And it was on the road, and nobody expected that. This comeback, it did come out of nowhere. I was actually kind of looking at the, I was taking some notes on the game at the end, and when Harris hit that three after that huge offensive rebound, Detroit's up 9 with 2:50 to go. The analytics are crazy now. It's 97% they're winning the game. And by the way, Mitchell really was nowhere to be found in that late in that fourth quarter.
Pretty quiet game for him.
I had a lay-in, knocked it down to 7. Then what? Jenkins, who was good, missed a 3. Mm-hmm. Mobley comes down, gets a slam, they're down 5. Then there's great defense by Mobley inside on Reed. He blocked him. That was the lead to the shot clock expiring. Then Mobley hits a 3. Then what does Harris do coming back? Tries a 3, misses. Detroit fouls. Mobley makes both his free throws with 45 seconds. Then what does Cade Cunningham do? He forces a jumper, misses. LeVert, who's been good, had a fadeaway clock expiring jumper. And then we went into that other play. And then in overtime, you know how good they were in overtime and how good Strus was. And mm-hmm. like this was, and I tweeted like this was, this was the epic choke by the Pistons in a pivotal game up 9 with 2:50 to go. But everything they did to me was coaching. You cannot just shoot. They're not even a jump shooting team, really. They attack. Mm-hmm. When you have a team down 9 in the final minutes, guess what they have to do? Probably foul you. Probably defend you. And not enough teams force teams when they're down to continue to defend.
Kenny Atkinson, the Cavs, I think, did a good job of playing Jalen Durant off the floor, too. That's a big deal in what happened last night with him only playing 25 minutes and being an
slow
all-NBA.
Start.
Absolutely, right? Like, not having him in the mix, I think, speaks to some of the stuff that you're talking about and maybe the lack of confidence from Bickerstaff and his staff and not having Durant out there in critical moments. You brought up the free throws, though, and that's where James Harden now enters the chat. Because he was tremendous from the free throw line yesterday. When they acquired him, of course, all the questionable playoff stuff's going to pop up, and rightfully so. He hasn't been there more times than not when you need him. But AR, I think against that defense and that game yesterday, that's why you make the trade for James Harden. Because when you deal with an aggressive defense the way Detroit likes to play, like this is just who they are. Out there on the perimeter, point of attack defenders, they've got plenty of those. You have Harden step up to the line and go 11 of 14. And he just did a good job of breaking down the defense, getting downhill and getting to the line in the game to where your other ball handler and Donovan Mitchell really didn't have it. So I think that was just important that one of those guys created a nice flow there on offense and got to the line and were able to score with the clock stopped. And then you brought up Max Strus. Like, that was big. You have to have those type of performances on the road if you're going to steal these games. And he stepped up going 6 of 8. So I just think for me, it was the stuff that you absolutely highlighted, but I just thought James Harden's performance from the free throw line was tremendous, and he stepped up and delivered when they needed him the most.
The other thing, Maddie, that he lured them into, Harden got a lot of calls on defensive closeouts where guys were getting into his landing space. Mm-hmm. Like, they felt they had to get in his face a lot more in last night's game, and they paid for it. Yeah. And Detroit could not get away with that last night. They were out-coached and definitely outplayed at the end.
Yeah.
And one team kind of settled and thought they had it won, and the other team kept playing. So Atkinson's correct. They went on a 32-20 run and led by 4 after 3, and then got down 9. Like, the emotions of that game, now, they got to make it count. You got to make it count.
They have to make it count at home. But what I think is big, AR, is getting that win on the road after losing the first two on the road in the series. Because now, mentally, you can go to a little confidence to know if we have to go back to that building for Game 7, we just did it, and we did it in dramatic fashion.
We come back in 2 minutes. The Bengals' schedule has a leak, and it includes a big narrative game. We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie was a big Browns fan.
Scratch that, we mean he's a big fan of the former Browns.
Oh, yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens. This is Rothman and Ice.
Take it away, my man.
Join us, folks, for the Fan 5K presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. It's a 5K run and a 1 mile walk happening Saturday, June 20th at the Otterbein University, or not at the, at Otterbein University in Westerville. Yeah. Not trying to get any trouble with that. Some of your favorite fan personalities will be there, including T-Bone and Tyvus, Common Man and Timmy Hall, Eric Reeser, and yes, 10 TV's Adam King and Nicole Sheeran will be running the race in silly outfits. Every participant gets a finisher's medal, a race shirt, free photos, and awesome gifts from Logan Services. The Fan 5K is presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Sign up today at 971therace.com. Again, you can sign up today at 971therace.com.
If Otterbein was founded prior to Ohio State, wouldn't that make them the Otterbein University? Couldn't they have taken that?
Any smoke over there?
I don't know. It sounds like you.
Campus.
Sounds
no
like
smoke.
You, sounds like you got a lawsuit brewing now.
Come on, man.
For Maddie.
Put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Welcome back. I'll tell you what. I don't know. We may have something here.
2 segments in, I got a lawsuit coming my way, huh?
Cal Raleigh. It's nice knowing you.
What happened?
Thanks for the pick.
What's going on, man?
He's on the injured list.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's got a hip.
I'm just so sorry.
I've got two guys now on the DL. There's no, I mean, you might as well just make a reservation.
If this isn't karma, I don't know what is.
I don't think I was leading the charge.
UNTLC just dancing on my grave about 3 weeks ago when the Juan Soto news
came out. Because you were leading.
And now here we are, and you've been cursed. Danhausen came to get you. Are cursed right now, AR. TLC's team, I don't know how he's avoiding the curse, because every morning I wake up and I just see his guys just going bananas. But you, my friend, this is karma coming back to get you for body and dunking on your boy.
I don't think I was. I think we had to slow you down a little bit. your team was on fire. So Soto got tweaked a little bit. We were like, okay, we kind of need this.
The joy in your eye when TLC kept talking about, hey, I don't even want Soto to go on the IL 60. I want him to get hurt, come back, get hurt, come back again. You were grinning from ear to ear over here. Come on, man.
Right.
This is karma. You got to just eat some crow here. That's all.
I was probably ready for this anyway. The team was... like, I didn't have the guts to pick my own guy in my fantasy team as my fifth pick. Mm-hmm. Murakami was scouted, drafted. You're right. Probably got to. And the good news is that I already think it's over, so I might as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's pretty much over.
What was the update this week?
We didn't have an update.
You were out. He was out. Together.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm actually tabulating that as we speak.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Can't wait for that. We have a leak in the Bengals schedule here.
Yeah, we do.
And the Bengals, there was a thought that they were going to have to go to Baltimore for a fourth straight year in prime time.
Okay.
And this time it's them hosting your Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be on New Year's Eve. Now, before everybody loses their collective minds, I'm pretty sure the college football playoffs are not playing on New Year's Eve this year. It's New Year's Day.
Okay.
Like, everyone's going crazy. Oh, how could they do this? The NFL and college, one hand doesn't know what the other one's doing.
Oh, what am I going to do? Watch more football?
Just like, I think, TLC, after you're done with that tabulation, am I correct? This Thursday nighter that the Bengals are hosting the Ravens on New Year's Eve, they're not competing with college football.
I hope not. I can't swear to it, to be completely honest with you.
Let me double check my own math on this.
It would not surprise me if the NFL was like, we don't care. We're trying to take over everybody's territory.
Here, I'm going to the College Football Playoff Wikipedia page. They'll have the schedule.
So we're looking for the...
what date? Yeah, we got a lot of...
the Fiesta Bowl's on December 30th.
College football is avoiding New Year's Eve.
January 1st, they're playing. Everyone's going nuts.
All right, so we're good. We're good. Wednesday.
Take it easy.
Wednesday, you'll have a little college football action. Thursday, they'll get you right with the NFL.
Yeah.
And then Friday, we're back to getting busy with the college football
playoff. Wednesday, Thursday, then we're playing New Year's Day. We got the whole holidays covered.
We're good.
We're not going to have to choose between the Bengals and the Buckeyes.
Mm. There's like a 2-week break in the college football playoffs. It says January.
The campus sites are the 18th and 19th.
Yeah, but then we go to the 30th and the 1st. So we have one playoff game on Wednesday. We have NFL on Thursday. And then we go back to 3 college football playoff games on Friday, New Year's Day. There is then a 2-week break until January 14th and 15th.
Yeah, but won't we have I guess that there will be that break. Well, they keep pushing everything back. The national title game is until the 25th.
Yeah, so to TLC's
Super Bowl.
Point AR. Excuse me. It looks like we're getting the Cotton Bowl, Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl all on the first New Year's Day. And then, as he just mentioned, it looks like the Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl will be Thursday the 14th, Friday the 15th.
Yeah.
So look,
Indiana played Miami last year.
14 day gaps.
Well, Indiana played Miami last year on the 19th for the championship. And that this year it'll be 6 days after that.
It is hitting me like that's a little too long of a layoff.
That's fine, but I think
we're going to forget about it.
The craziness today was, how could they play on a college football semifinal night or quarterfinal night?
Even if they did, I would actually, we're all watching all of it.
Well, not if the game's going on at the same time.
There was
I'm living in my world now, AR. I have to remember, I'm in my tablet TV world now. So this for me is a non-issue.
You wouldn't want that, though. Ideally.
I wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
I think we had conflict last year. If I'm recalling correctly, I believe I think the James Madison Oregon game was taking place during the Bears Packers mega comeback game.
But I think I had this correct today, that we're good on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we're good.
We are. We'll be able to watch. Now, the narrative about it, this is the Trey Hendrickson back to Cincinnati game.
Revenge.
Right?
Revenge, of course.
I mean, that's what this...
Of course.
I mean, I can see it right now. I didn't even think about Bengals-Ravens. All I thought about was Trey going Hendrickson back to the Queen City.
Week 17, division may be on the line. Both teams obviously coming in on short rest. I'm assuming that would still be the case there. But yeah, that anytime you get Lamar, Joey B going after in prime time, it doesn't get much better than that. And especially when you think about some of the games that have been played between these two teams over the last just couple of seasons.
But they've always been at your place.
I don't have a problem.
No, I know that, but it's good that it flipped.
Look, I totally understand where Bengal fans were coming from. I think maybe even Joey B and some of the players even commented on it as well. Going over there for primetime games on short weeks or whatever it may be, year in, year out, that's not ideal. It's not ideal. I will totally admit that. But that obviously could be a huge, huge game this year when you look at how late that is in the season and what could be on the line. I mean, we're talking about two teams that if they catch a couple breaks here, you have everybody stay healthy, especially the two quarterbacks. Nobody's going to be surprised if those two teams are not only fighting for the division, but maybe we're talking about one seed stuff for both those teams as well.
Yeah. I mean, all we want are big games that matter in that time of the year, and we're going to get it. And it's good that it flipped. Mm-hmm. It finally had to. I think there would have been a pretty big injustice if the Bengals had to go to Baltimore for a primetime game. Not that I'm mad that it would be a primetime game. They have every right to make it a primetime game between those two opponents. But for a fifth straight season, that'd be a little
It'd be a little too much. I agree. How are you planning on consuming the schedule release tonight? Is this a
what time is it?
Just let me know and I'll go to my team and watch it then, or are you going to actually sit down and watch NFL Network, ESPN, whatever?
What time? Do you have the menu on this?
I'll pull up the log.
8 o'clock or whatever.
See what we got here on the T. I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere in that window.
So I'll be watching hockey for sure, but I don't.
Looks like we have an 8 o'clock SportsCenter special for you. That is, yeah. So this is your schedule. So 8 o'clock tonight, folks.
Yeah, I'll tune in. Commercial breaks, go a little last button action.
I'm more interested in the team's social pages. So like
those are good.
They usually do a good job.
Yeah,
you bring Chargers are always the best.
Yeah, so I'll be locked into
about the Titans. What did we watch when they did the interviewing the people on the street
on
when they were getting the names wrong of the teams?
Yeah, that was good.
They were like profiling people. Like this person would have no clue.
What Chester Cheeto.
Yeah, that was. Oh, by the way, there was one question about, I think it was the Jaguars logo they put up, and somebody said, that's a trick. That doesn't exist. Right? Wasn't there a...
It was something like that.
Yeah. And then the good one with the Chargers was the Lightning McQueen. The Lightning McQueens. That's what somebody said.
It was a funny video.
That could be a drop.
Really good.
All right, we're going to come back and get back into college football and embracing perfection in an imperfect era. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
.com. Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money. Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, kids.
Anthony once did magic for birthday parties. See, when you say it out loud, it doesn't sound so bad. Back to Rothman and Ice.
All right, the Dinger Draft. If you missed before the MLB season, we did a draft here on the show, a snake draft. And we each got five guys, total amount of home runs for the entire season. The guy in last has to take the other two out to dinner wherever they want. And I am currently in last and have lost two guys to the DL. But our rule on the show was that unless he went on the 60-day DL, you couldn't replace him. And if you were able to replace him, you had to start at zero. You didn't just get his home runs, obviously. So that hasn't happened to any of us yet. But the fact that you have two guys in the top six, and now he has a guy number five, and
if you want the numbers, I got them.
All right, read them and weep.
In first place, myself, 43.
Mm.
In second place, Matty Ice, 40. In third place, Anthony Rothman, 39.
You're right there.
Not as bad as I thought, but losing Cal Raleigh today.
I'm telling you, Kyle Schwarber has hit six home runs since the last time we updated this. That's
but
a week and a half.
One guy cannot carry me the entire season.
And I wish I had Ryan O'Hearn who just hit a
home
run.
And I wish I had Murakami. He's on my fantasy team, and I didn't take him.
Ice's team is so top-heavy. He's got Judge
and Yordan.
Yes. Now, he did get three from Devers in the past week and a half since we last updated it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is about 260 pounds and bats like Luis Arraez this year. Like,
he's nothing but average.
Yeah. He's a 300-some-odd singles hitter this year.
Horrible pick by me.
It's unbelievable.
Horrible pick by me.
He can't be any worse than my...
Not that we would have known.
I mean, Eugenio Suarez, I thought going back to Cincinnati, that park, him having the season he had, I thought that was a great middle to late round pick for
me. I agree.
Just being at the Great American Launching Pad,
mm-hmm.
and now he's dealing with an oblique. I guess he's getting better. He's going to have another MRI. But the Kyle Tucker last pick for me has turned out to be brutal.
Yeah, that's tough.
With my last pick, I should have taken more of a gutsy chance.
Well,
I have
the almost drafted all-stars. Acuna was the one who you were really thinking about.
He's injured.
Mm-hmm.
He's been injured.
Mm-hmm. J-Rod has 7 who you were considering, and J-Ram has 6 who we were all considering.
Okay, so
the addition, if you swapped out Kyle Tucker for, if you said Julio Rodriguez, you'd be one off the lead.
How about if I swapped out Tucker for Murakami?
You'd be far and away first place.
That's it. That's the one that's going to
haunt me. But nobody would have had the you-know-what to do that.
But the key about this is you're telling me I'm one or two behind second?
You're one behind me.
All right. But you have Judge and Yordan, so it's...
But you
have Schwarber.
And I have Schwarber.
Okay. One against two.
TLC right now.
We need to root hard
for
something to happen.
Between Junior Caminero and freaking Matt Olson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These dudes are just going off right now over the last 2 weeks.
Why does anybody pitch to these guys?
I got really nervous because I made the declaration. I said, I'm passing on Yordan Alvarez and taking Matt Olson because I thought Alvarez was going to have injury issues, which I mean, it's May 14th. We got like 4 months of the season left, so who knows? But that was kind of salt in the wound when Yordan Alvarez won the race to 10 home runs. And I'm like, I announced that I was passing on him.
We need to. And I don't care how we do it, but I think it would be fun. Between the three of us, cook up a similar draft for football. I don't know if we want to do...
Touchdowns?
Total touchdowns, a combination of...
The only way to really do it.
You get like a quarterback in his passing yards with, let's say, like a running back in his rushing yards.
So you're inventing fantasy football?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Maybe we could even give like a half a point if he catches a football.
Yeah. What if we did like a total yards draft? You get one receiver,
yards
one running back,
scrimmage draft,
and a quarterback for the fall. What do you guys think of that?
You want the running quarterback, I think. You're getting that.
Is there any way that we can combine college and pro?
I don't know. College doesn't like you doing that. Puts a lot of pressure on their guys. They're already making millions, but
yeah.
Hey, you know another layer of pressure.
As long as you don't slide in their DMs.
Yeah, if I need another 15 yards today.
How else could we do that, though?
Total touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be the easiest. Because if we're doing it like the home run version, it would just be... Touchdowns would be more fun because you could have a 150-yard day and no touchdowns.
Who would be in on this? How would we craft our team? Are you doing like a quarterback, running back, and a receiver? Are you doing, in your mind, three pass catchers?
Well, you're going to get so many more... Well, no, you really wouldn't. I was going to say you'd probably get around equal, maybe a little more in the running back for touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it would be non-quarterbacks.
Okay.
I think we'd...
See, I like the quarterback, because then we could do passing TDs.
Well, if you made it where you had to have a quarterback, receiver, and running back, you had to cover all three.
Let's do all three.
I'd want to blend them.
Then the strategy would be, when do I draft that guy? Like, let's say you had the first pick. You're probably going to take... Well, I'm not going to... You probably would take a running back, I would think.
If we're just doing total touchdowns.
Because the touchdowns for, well, I guess if we're doing total touchdowns, we got to ask ourselves, because if you're at, if you're including passing touchdowns, then the quarterback's going to be selected first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this right now, where if you were doing this draft today and your first pick had to be a quarterback, you're probably not taking the guy that led the league in passing touchdowns last year. You're not taking Stafford. I don't think you would.
Probably not.
You might.
I would want to take Joey B and hope that the defense isn't fixed. Honestly.
Well, so you're playing the game script.
That's what I would want.
Yeah.
It's the hope that the defense is still bad.
I think I'd be probably going with Josh Allen based on the rushing touchdowns. The fact that he had 14 rushing touchdowns as a quarterback.
And that's a whole
and I'm going to get another 20-some-odd passing.
It's a whole other conversation we'd have to have.
Oh, if you include rushing?
Or are we just doing strictly passing touchdowns?
Total touchdowns.
Hello, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, total touchdowns.
Okay.
I think it would have to be. And if we are including quarterback, then you know that'll be the first.
Is there enough of a
I want to get weird. I want to combine college and pro. Like draft three pro and two college.
Weird.
I'm going to try
to. You've said that many times. I want to get weird.
I hate to be a self-dropper, but where is it?
I may have interrupted you. It may not work.
Hey, I'll try anything once. Self-dropping is bad, but
do
I just
something
did it.
Strange for a little piece of change. You hear that? Okay. Oh. Okay, we got time to craft this out. So hop on that thing. Don't mess around.
Don't mess around. Mm-hmm.
Don't mess around. But I think we do one quarterback, one running back, and one pass catcher.
I think it would almost be more fun to just do the skill guys, where you could decide of your three guys. Do I want two receivers and a running back, two running backs and a receiver? Like, I think
for total touchdown,
instead of having to just cover the other side of it. And the only reason I say that is because the quarterback pick is going to be so vital, because you can't rescue it if you have a bad quarterback.
But or can
a quarterback
you
that has
it?
A bad. And what if your quarterback gets injured? Then what do we do?
Like,
then you're toast.
TLC's going to have to come up with some rule like you did for baseball.
IR.
Yeah, you're going to get lapped. That's why if we kept it to just receivers and running backs, now that makes the picks very difficult. Because think about the discrepancy between the top touchdown receiver, Devontae Adams, with 14, and the guy who's in, like, I don't know, let's say 10th place, who had like 9. Or 10.
That's why I think we need to add quarterbacks to this. I think it'll make it more.
It just puts so much weight on, did you get the right guy at quarterback? I don't think there's anything you can truly do to come back if you have.
That's why I want to include it, because it's such a critical thing.
Because the difference between Stafford at 46 touchdown passes compared to Mahomes at 22, like, I don't think you can't make that up. That's why I think if you just did a skill, a weapons draft. Yeah. Well, you could. It makes it,
be a good GM. There's your answer.
Well, no, but see, of the quarterback, you guys know this. There's only about four or five guys you would pick. We only need one.
I love that I got you guys thinking.
Yeah.
Because I think this will be fun to keep up with during football season. It's only May 14th. We got time.
All right. So, we got to get through, got to get to the All-Star break, see where I stand. You guys are making a reservation already. Jeremy Birmingham is going to jump on next. We'll talk Buckeye football and all the pressing questions about this team and this era. Next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, the Fan.
I'm Meredith Garf.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Isaiah Jacob. In the NBA, the Cavs are preparing for Game 6 tomorrow night after taking a 3-2 series lead over the Pistons with a 117-113 overtime win in Detroit. Cleveland erased a 15-point deficit and rallied from 9 down in the final minutes to secure their first road win of the postseason. In baseball, the Guardians are off today, but Cleveland will return to action tomorrow night when the Reds come to town. Cincinnati is already underway facing the Nationals. They're tied up 0-0 in the top of the second. And at the 2026 PGA Championship, Scottie Scheffler begins his pursuit of back-to-back titles today. His opening round tee time is set for 2:05 p.m. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better, schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You have to understand you're listening to Rothman and Ice 97.1 The Fan. It's indubitable.
Back at it. Talking Buckeye football with our friend Jeremy Birmingham. Austin and Berm on The Fan, 10 TV Plus. Letterman Rowe on 3 does it all. He's with us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. All right, Berm. We appreciate your time, my man. How you doing?
Living the dream. How are you guys doing?
We are living the dream because college football is 365, and we have been discussing it a lot in the offseason. Where are you on Big Ten titles and meaning of them? And I guess when you're in them, you want to win them. But it feels like it's one of the bigger questions. Ohio State hasn't been, quote, king of the conference in a while. And yet now there's all talk that if it expands again, the championship games would go away. Is that a big deal to you?
I mean, I think it's a big deal to win the championship because that's what you play the games for. I don't think that there needs to be a championship game at this point because the playoff is the de facto championship everyone's trying to win. And it hasn't mattered that Ohio State hasn't won the Big Ten championship because they've still been in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously it's what Urban Meyer used to say about recruiting and anything else. If they're keeping score, you want to win. But I think for the betterment of the sport, especially as we expand likely to 24 teams in the playoff, there's no point to having these games anymore.
Berm, now that we've got the spring game behind us, I want to throw this question at you. Who was the player, whether it was a guy that came in through the portal or a guy that's been here waiting his time, that you've learned a lot about now over the last couple of months that maybe obviously you knew who he was, but you didn't know much about him as a player, whatever it may be. So the player that you've learned the most about over the last few months is who?
I mean, there's a couple of different guys. One of them, I think, is Nate Roberts, who, you know, a lot of people believe, or I think maybe believe, that because Ohio State went out and brought in Mason Williams and brought in Hunter Welsing in the transfer portal, that they weren't happy with Nate or that they weren't sure if he was going to be able to be that guy as the starting tight end, as tight end number one. There's no doubt from when people I've spoken with that is not the case. He is being counted on in a major way. And on defense, it's probably Leroy Roker, who a lot of people, I think, were surprised when he entered the game against Miami in the playoff ahead of Bryce West at the time. And the reality is that Leroy Roker is a guy that Ohio State defense is counting on in a major way. And he may not be the every down guy because they brought in Terry Moore and Earl Little and they have Jalen McClain. But they have four safeties they really trust. And, you know, we used to make jokes all the time about a safety-driven defense. And that is still what this is, despite the fact that the linebackers and everyone else have excelled.
So, Berm, the other side of the ball, I think, is interesting to Buckeye fan and people that follow the team, because when push came to shove, they got shoved around. And it affected Julian Sayin's processing late in the game and the time he had to throw the football. And they weren't converting on short yardage. And at times, the protection wasn't great. Now, they had to makeshift some things together, but where are you on that offensive line right now and the issues that plagued them late in the season against very good teams? How confident are you that that is going to be one of their more solid units this year?
Well, it should be, right? You have four returning starters. You've got guys who've played a lot of football. You have a ton of leadership in that group. It is unfortunate that this spring didn't really give us an answer to the question of who's going to play right guard? Because that is the biggest question for the offense, I think. And because Austin Sarrivelde was hurt, because Philip Daniels was hurt, we got a good glimpse of Ian Moore at left tackle and what he could maybe look like as the starting left tackle if you move Austin Sarrivelde inside. But Padilla being out again in the spring, the injury issues that you've been dealing with, Gabe Van Sickle had a good spring and seemed to step into that role. But I still don't think we have a firm answer on what the starting five is going to be. And I personally, from my conversations with people, they are happy with the group they have. They could have went out and put a big money guy in the line as a transfer or something like that. But the Buckeyes feel like they have the starting five that they want. It's just unfortunate for us who, you know, trying to watch it or analyze it through the spring, there's really no sense of what this offense is going to be, because the offensive line throughout spring put Julian Sain back in those same positions that he was in against Indiana and Miami, because there was just no way to protect him. So what we got to see in the spring game, what we saw in the little amount of spring practice we got to see, it was hard to feel like super confident. Now, again, the coaches are not lacking confidence. They feel like they have the guys to get it done. But I can understand the trepidation for the fan base thinking that that might not be an area of strength. And I guess we're going to find out. I mean, that's the long story short there, guys, is like, who knows?
Exactly.
How much confidence do you have, Berm, that the wide receiver room this season will have enough depth in it to where, for sure, Coach Day, his staff are going to have confidence that they can go maybe 3, 4, 5 guys deep if needed? Do you feel like they have that yet?
Oh, I think that is an answer that we definitely got in spring. The additions of Kyle Parker and Devin McEwen, obviously you bring back the world's best receiver in Jeremiah Smith. And, you know, we've called him an alien for years. And when you have him on your team, you are in an advantage. Now, Ohio State is trying to find ways to move him around to get better matchups. I think we're going to see him be used in the slot more than we've seen him in the past. I think Brandon Ennis is ready to step up. He looks great. He's lost some of the baby fat that he had for the last couple of years, has toned up a little bit, looks a lot quicker. But then it's the addition of the younger guys, Brian Hartline's parting gift to Ohio State with Chris Henry Jr., Brock Boyd, and Jerquaden Guilford. I think that you have a lot of depth there. Now, will Cortez Hankton play more depth than Brian Hartline did, I think, is a fair question to ask, because Hartline did not seem to be all that interested in rotating his guys. And obviously, you're not going to be quite as high level when you lose Carnell Tate. You're not going to have a pair of first-round picks on this roster probably this year. But the total depth, I think, actually is better at wide receiver than it has been. And I think that it actually is a group that more properly aligns with what Julian Sain's skill set is. And it's a comparison that I've tried to make before, and I don't know that it really will resonate with people, but Julian Sain, the offense should be designed similar to the way it was in 2018 with Dwayne Haskins. That is the comparison for Julian Sain's style of play. And this rotating group of receivers, where you have Jeremiah Smith on one side, notwithstanding, you have 5 or 6 guys that are all pretty similar. And I think if you go back to KJ Hill, Terry McLaurin, Johnny Dixon, Paris Campbell, et cetera, you had that style of weapon in 2018, 2019. And I think that that's where the offense is going to go.
Berm, who is the Arvel Reese of this year's team? And not by position. What I mean by is a guy that maybe the entire fan base didn't know but became a household name, certainly. Is there a guy in this team that will be that guy?
I mean, I think there's a couple of those guys on there. One of them is Jalen McClain, who I think is going to be a first-round pick at safety next year. I think he's an absolute star. You know, it's maybe not a perfect comparison, considering Jalen started every game last year and people should certainly know him. Beyond that, again, I go back to Leroy Roker. I think he's one that people are going to be really intrigued by. And at linebacker, the guy that I think people have overlooked for good reasons is TJ Alford, who is really stepped up at the end of last year, put himself into the conversation heading into the spring. And when Riley Pettijohn missed the spring because of a shoulder issue, it did open the door for TJ to make some moves, and he took advantage of it from what I've heard. I'm not counting on him to come in and be a starter, because you have Peyton Pierce and you have Christian Allegro. And obviously, once Riley gets back into the mix, then he's in that conversation. But people need to be aware that TJ Alford is not just an also guy on this roster. He's got a chance to be a real dude.
Real quick, Berm, when it comes to Arthur Smith and him being now the OC here, what's one thing you think we'll be able to point to when we get to the games that actually matter and say that that's influenced by Arthur Smith when it comes to that play style, the formation or whatever it may be? What's one thing that you think we'll be able to point to and say that was influenced by Arthur Smith?
I think you will see some noticeable changes in the run game and the run schemes and the way that the Buckeyes try to get their running backs to the second level and to use their running backs. I think you're going to see more behind the line of scrimmage stuff. Again, going back to that 2018, 2019 run for Ohio State offensively, where you see a little bit more in the jet sweep game, where you see a little bit more motion. I think you're going to see more of that, and I think that's going to be a direct reflection of Arthur Smith and his offense.
Jeremy Birmingham, Ohio State Recruiting, covers the team amongst the best. We appreciate your time, Berm. See you soon, my man.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. When we come back, a claim of athletic prowess that needs to be broken down, deserves to be broken down. Next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
I'm John Morgan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube.
Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth.
Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there.
Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a partly sunny day today and cool with breezy winds and temperatures in the mid to low 60s. Skies turn mostly clear tonight as lows plunge into the upper 30s to low 40s, but we end the work week mostly sunny and it will be a tad warmer as our daytime highs get into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, bottom of the hour, we'll see if Maddie co-signs a bet I made the other day. See if he wants a piece of it. PGA Championship going on right now outside of Philly. And John Rahm just took a swing at the rough after his approach on number 7, and it caused a clump of grass to fly into a volunteer's face. Okay. Unintentional. And I'm just wondering if that's a souvenir that maybe somebody wants to take home.
As long as he made his tee time, he's okay.
I'm glad he brought that up because I was going to ask you guys about that. I've never heard of the golfer that was late for his tee time today that's now been penalized.
Garrick Higo?
Yeah, 2 strokes, I guess, for that. Why was he late? What was his reasoning for being late? I've just seen the headline going around today.
All I know is that he said, I was there on time, but late. It's unfortunate. Can you explain that one to me?
So I'm reading this at ESPN right now. Higo, as you mentioned, ranked 85th in the world.
Higo?
Exactly. He was scheduled to tee off at hole number 1 at 7:18 a.m. Eastern time today. He was 1 minute late to his tee time, according to the video on the ESPN broadcast. 1 minute? That's it? And we're popping a guy? 2 strokes? I think that's a little harsh. 1 minute?
I like that, though, because but you got to draw the line somewhere, so it may as well be the place that you originally drew the line. Because think about it, if he's 5 minutes late, and they, I'm 5 minutes late, you know, you guys were sitting around. If you're sitting around waiting for me, 5 minutes can be a little bit of a long time. But, like, if it's 1 minute late and then somebody else misses 5 minutes, then they can go up to them and say, well, why didn't you grant me the same grace you granted him?
But wasn't he 1 minute late of the 5 minutes? They offer him, like the buffer?
Oh,
like well, I don't think he was 1 minute late to the scheduled tee time. He may have been.
They showed
six,
him
technically 6 minutes is my feel, but I don't. I could be wrong.
ESPN's coverage showed him. They showed a video Let's of him see. Walking up and shaking hands with somebody at I thought the first tee box, maybe not at 7:19 for a 7:18 tee time.
Okay,
so,
all right. Well, then he was only the 1 minute. I don't know why. Then
in a news release from the PGA of America. They're saying that Higo was practicing on the putting green, but was not within the area defined as the starting point of his starting time.
Okay, so he was screwing around on the putting green. He took a few extra practice, lost track of time, ran over there and realized that if he was late 5 minutes or more, I guess you're done. Like you're actually done from the tournament. Disqualified.
Okay, that.
You that's got Maddie. You got to keep things on pace.
That's the 5 minute buffer.
Yeah, I think he had.
It's within 5 minutes you get penalized strokes.
Exactly.
If it's 5 minutes or more, then you're not even in the tournament.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
Well, I mean, if everyone is taking advantage of an extra 5 minutes, it kind of does throw off the field.
But to kick a guy out for the entire weekend? I think it's a little heavy. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
The guys behind you got to tee off.
Like if I'm 6 minutes late, I can't play all weekend? Not that I would be late.
All right, so if you ever... If all right, so here at the Fan, that would be great, right? If for some reason that you're supposed to host a show, and if you didn't get here, if like the commercial break before the top of the hour is like 11:55,
mm-hmm.
or sorry, 54:50,
54:40,
and you're not here, like you have that 5 minutes,
okay?
And there's some, we'll dock you something if you arrive in those 5 minutes,
yeah.
But if you arrive here at 12 or later. You don't get to host.
I think it's a little much. That's all.
You go home.
I think the two-shot penalty for being 1 minute late is ridiculous.
He was there. I mean,
right? Like, what is he holding?
He lost track of time.
Here's what that would be
on
like.
Him.
It'd be like if Rothman was at his desk talking to somebody.
Yeah, and the show started
instead of maybe like Rothman like being like on the highway, like on 670, making his way in. It'd be like, oh wait, I was here. I just didn't know what I didn't
That's
know
what
was
he's
now.
Saying.
I would be going to bat for AR. If there was any penalty,
I am the example.
Well, because he just brought you up.
No, I'm kidding.
I think you made yourself, or you made radio the example.
Hey, I would be going to bat for you that there should be no penalty if you showed up a minute late to the show.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this is the highest level.
You'd have to cover
golf.
That minute.
It's a major. Like, he knows the rules. This wasn't a, now maybe he doesn't. Maybe this was a surprise to him.
He is the 85th ranked player in the world. Which is still pretty
so
darn
he knows.
Then he played a great round.
Like, he knows.
I'm glad that you mentioned he knows, because I was watching the Spurs game the other day when Wimby got thrown out. Remember he threw that elbow. I'm sure you guys have seen the highlight. The ref announces to the entire arena that the flagrant has been upgraded to a flagrant 2. You can see Wimby say, I think, to Harrison Barnes or one of his teammates, what does that mean? So one of the best players in the entire world doesn't even know the rules. And it reminded me, like, these guys are in this world. They're supposed to know this stuff. Like, they don't really care to know. Joe Burrow mentioned this, I think, last year, where he was like, I don't really know how the cap works, you know. But here's my take on what we should be doing. Like, these guys, when I saw Wimby say AR, what does that mean? Like, that blew my mind that he didn't know that a flagrant 2 meant that he was ejected from the game. Now, I know he...
Means that he's a clean player.
Just
never
crazy.
Never had to deal with it.
He wouldn't know what that meant. That blew my mind.
With the amount of NFL players who went into overtime not knowing the overtime rules. Like,
how do these guys not know that?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe he's never really experienced that.
It's not an obscure rule, right? Like, some... penalty that we've never heard of. It was upgraded to a flagrant 2. Like, oh, I'm tossed from the game. But he was genuinely surprised by that ruling that he didn't know. So
I remember when the librarian was a much older lady. We didn't know anything about her private life. We didn't want to know anything. She didn't have a private life.
Breakfast Club.
No.
Oh, man. I feel like that was
the fact that you identified it as a line is good.
You have a tone of voice, though, that you dive into it's a movie quote, when you're doing a quote.
So let's get to the real crux of what we wanted to talk about, not Higo being Lego my Higo and free Higo. I feel like this claim that happened on Bishop and Friends needs to be broken down.
Okay.
It was a casual throwout by Bake
But it was a pretty high-end athletic prowess throwout. Like, they were asked by a listener about if they could have a superpower as an athlete, what would it be?
I have the full audio in this.
You have the full audio. But yeah. I need just Bakes. I think Bakes the one we need to break down.
Well,
but if you only have the full, we'll hear the full.
There we go.
All right.
From Alex. Hey, guys, if you could have any sports superpower, what would you pick? He gives some examples. Hitting like Bonds, golfing like Tiger, punching like Mike Tyson.
The superpower I would want would be it's easily anything to do with golf. If I could drive it like Rory for just one day. Well, although he was wild at Augusta, but if I could just hit bombs down the middle for one day, I would play 72 holes. I would play from sunup to sundown and have the time of my life. I can hit a baseball. I can't hit it like Bonds. I can't shoot like Steph, but every once in a while I can hit five or six threes if I'm in a row playing with the boys. So like that's a regular thing. I can't drive a golf ball 340 yards and I'd love to.
I have been in my life, maybe not right now, but I have been in my life a pretty good driver of the golf ball and a guy that would hit it 300 consistently. I've even hit a couple 340 in my life when I caught it really well. So I have no use for that.
Okay.
Talk about it, Big Show.
The casual nature of the maybe not right now.
Mm-hmm.
That actually throws in that it's still possible. Like, maybe not right now. I'm not sure. We'll see. We're not in the season yet. 300 consistently. And then, quote, if I caught it right, 340, as opposed if I didn't catch it right, it went 312. Like, the casual nature of that throwout. First of all, I don't even know where to go with this. Was there a 30-mile-an-hour wind behind you? Were you on asphalt? Did you hit 8 sprinkler heads? Where did the ball land? Did you ever find it? Like,
oh, my goodness. So you're
consistently 300?
Yeah. Here's what Google...
The guys on the tour...
I'm glad you brought that
are
up.
...are lucky to hit it 340, quote, if they catch it right.
Here's what Google AI is telling me. The average driving distance on the PGA Tour is approximately 300 yards.
Which is amazing on itself. Like, that's pretty amazing unto itself.
Elite players and top-tier drivers can frequently average over 320 yards, with some top performers reaching up to 326 yards per season.
Maddie, what if they catch it right? What happens?
380.
So none of those are caught right. Those 3.25 ones.
Oh, my
those
goodness.
Are just normal.
Listen, our guy Baker, he's a big guy at his physical peak. I can see him crushing a golf ball. But 340?
He said Big Show, come 300 on, Big consistently. That may be more of a flex than the one-time 340 job on a dry runway downhill. Like, that's... And the casual throwout of that comment was just kind of zoomed. And I was texting about him, like, did I hear that correctly? He's like, yeah, he's Rory. And well, maybe he should be on tour.
And Bo said, and I'm Steph.
What do you
Wait,
shoot,
I'm not Steph, but I'm Clay Thompson.
300. I have no use for that. Bo did say, in case you were wondering,
I'm not Steph.
Can't hit it like the greatest home run hitter ever, but like, like, it was a very subtle flex.
I love
segment,
the confidence
which is
from
amazing.
Those guys. I love the confidence from those guys. And I was thinking about the question he asked in that clip. What superpower from an athlete would I want? I'm going to think about that during the break.
Every once in a while, I can hit five or six threes if I'm in a row playing with the boys. So, like, that's a regular thing.
Are those 19-9? Are those NBA threes? What are those?
Those are the important questions at the presser. We need them to respond.
I could see definitely unguarded.
Just cash.
Just raining, but five or six in a row is quite. We might need a little video on that. But
are we drawing the three-point line in chalk in the driveway like we do when we're kids?
I mean, the NBA three is 23-9.
He's got five or six in a row in him. He's ready to go.
I mean, I remember when college was 19-9. I don't know what it is now, but
I mean, we're just draining, just spot up draining five or six in a row.
Bishop and Friends has the long drive champ here at the Fan.
Clearly, we have the Happy Gilmore of the Fan.
And the three-point champ all on one show.
I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've gravitated more to the Bakers, like, very casual.
I have been in my life, maybe not right now, but I have been in my life a pretty good driver of the golf ball and a guy that would hit it 300 consistently.
Consistently. I didn't hear a straight in there or on the planet.
Consistently.
Or a left of left. I don't know where the ball landed, but apparently either Top Golf or a driving range, he's... How do you measure yourself against other golfers? By showing up and being me. We come back in 2 minutes. Will Maddie co-sign this bet? Rothman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
543. Grossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the pen and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Maddie just said, who's this guy leading the PGA Championship? Who knows? Aldrich Potgieter.
Never heard of him.
You know what? I think he's another South African. And guess what? He was on time.
Oh, I'm not saying that the guy doesn't deserve something.
A two-shot penalty.
But a double bogey right out of the gate.
What do you want him to get? We take one club out of your bag of our choosing?
It's a great question.
You can't
have
14 anymore?
I love that you asked this.
What is the penalty? He has to replace all the divots at night? Like what?
I like that.
Wash the...
Come out to the range. Come out to the range at night. And you've got to replace all the
divots.
You know
what he's saying? I'd rather have the two-shot penalty.
No way.
I can make that up. That's what he's probably saying.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Yeah, we gotta loosen up a little bit on the PGA Tour. Let's just ease
They've
up a
already
little
loosened
bit.
Up. It's called live, and it's gone, thank God.
But when you hit me with that.
You can loosen up on your own.
That if I'm 6 minutes late to my
round.
If you're
5 in a second, you're done.
I'm out for the entire weekend.
Yeah.
That, like, what?
What time was his tee time again?
7:18 this morning.
He was at the course 2 hours before that. He messed up. He lost track of time.
It
happens.
Locked in, you
it's
know?
Human.
I was focused.
But that's not the excuse. I mean, that you can't just.
Working on my weaknesses. Do you want me to be a part of this, you know, great production that we're putting on this weekend as a tour? Don't you want me
at my best? To make sure the championship goes off without a hitch. By the way, the fact that he got... So, did he par the hole and then add the two strokes onto that? So, he made double, or did he make a double and get the two strokes?
That I don't know, because I was going to ask you, where is he now?
Said he started the hole with a double bogey.
So, I'm kind of rooting for this guy now.
Oh, so he was hitting three off the tee.
Correct.
It's essentially
I
what happened.
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
I believe so. Okay.
It's a tough one.
He's one under right now.
Yeah, see? I mean...
Imagine where that would
be. So this guy's, all right, so this guy came up with something. He goes, take 4 minutes to hit an 8-foot putt and we will maybe give you a warning. What? Arrive 1 minute late and it's a 2-shot penalty. Oh, take 4 minutes to hit an 8-foot putt and we'll maybe give you a warning. So what this guy is saying is that you'll dock a guy 2 strokes for being a minute late, but these guys that take 8 minutes to line up a putt, you're like, you might want to pick it up
exactly.
A little bit.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, he just threw off. He threw off the show. He threw off the whole deal.
I think another good penalty would be if he had to carry both bags for like the front guy.
Double loop.
You know what I mean?
Carry your own bag.
Give the caddies a break for the front nine. You got to carry both.
Imagine training your whole life for a major. And you're on the putting green. Hey, Melon, we need you. Get over here. No, I mean, if you're late.
to your tee time at a major, you know, you're lucky there wasn't some alternate waiting, hoping,
oh my goodness,
sabotaging, stealing your iPhone.
Sorry. Snooze, you lose.
Yeah. Maddie, I had Adam King in here the other day when you were sick.
Shout out to AK.
And I gave him some analytics that the Browns have the easiest schedule on paper.
Okay.
Bobby brought up yesterday a good point about how you've got to expect the Bengals to be better and your Ravens, and you know, it's not a science. But if you go back through history, you see the teams that have the easiest schedule do make improvements. They rarely go the other way, outside of knowing injuries. And the Browns won 5 games last year. Then I brought up Deshaun. Then I brought up the fact that they have to travel the least of any NFL team this year.
Okay.
9,000 miles. A lot of that proximity within the division. And then the fact there's no international games. And yeah. So
did I see that the Niners are on the opposite end of that scale?
Yeah, well, they go to Australia.
They have the most travel.
Yeah, 32,000.
I saw that floating around. Okay. Okay.
And so combined, you have the easiest schedule on paper, and then you travel the least. And we think they have made some improvements on the team. The quarterback situation is always going to be the variable that nobody knows. Yeah. But I said to him, they're going to be improved. And he said, no, they aren't. And I said, so none of this equals anything? Just all a zero? Right? It's a zero-sum game? Like, it's just done? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, they're going to win more than they won last year. And he says, no, they aren't. And I said, all right, what do you want to bet? I said, Browns win 6? I'll take you to eat anywhere. You have the audio on this?
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Here we go.
The fact that the Browns, on paper, have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year, you say that equals what? Zero?
It equals zero.
Okay,
as
so
long
5
as
wins or worse again.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Unless
you want to take that bet?
Yeah, let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. I bet
Park.
They get to 6 or higher.
All right. And now, but
done.
This is contingent
on
them not trading for a quarterback.
Okay,
deal.
I'll take that.
I love it. All right.
They're not trading for, they're getting another quarterback.
By the way, excuse me, you're a very smart man, and you're very quick on your feet, I've noticed, with these bets. They can't get anything by you, Scotty Vegas or Adam King, because to me, as soon as you heard Hyde Park, done.
I did.
Of course, I'll take that.
Yeah, you think I'm going to spend
Park.
2 hours with him at Mendy's or wherever?
So that was smart by you, and I believe going back to your bet with Scotty Vegas for the
That was Sun
Masters.
Jay M finishing top 50 at the Masters. He finished 46th.
And when he
My
said
boys,
to you,
he said, how about
50?
No, we were going to, I said, I think I threw out top 40. And then he said, I don't even think he's going to finish top 50.
And you said, done.
And I said, and I grabbed another 10 spots, and it turned out to
exactly.
be great.
Turned out. I will say this, though. I think Adam King's going to win this bet.
Come on. I can't believe you're not co-signing the Browns winning 6.
You know you're my guy. I'm not
They're
going to
face
it.
10 teams that finished with 8 or fewer wins last season. Now, only 4 of their opponents next season were part of the playoffs. Playoffs? Now, I understand those teams can bounce back too. But
who are they picking on in your world?
Well, let's get their home.
Is
to
it,
get to 6?
I think Rothman's point is that they don't have to, like, prey on anybody else. It's just because being 6-11 isn't that impressive to begin with.
Here are their home games.
They can stumble their way into 6 is what he's saying.
Atlanta. I don't know what their quarterback situation is. I think they can beat Atlanta.
Kevin Stefanski revenge game?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland.
Think about how focused his team is.
It's in Cleveland.
Revenge.
Their quarterback situation is an injured lefty.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah. They're coming to the pound. All right. Welcome to Pound Town.
I was going to say, there's, oh, it's on a tee for somebody right there.
And I consistently hit it, 238. Atlanta at home, dub. Carolina at home.
Oh, this is a dangerous game you're right. playing.
Vegas at home, dub.
Hmm. When is that game?
If
that,
I don't if know you, any. If you, if Maddie, you, we got to wait till 8 o'clock for that.
Let me ask you this. You find out here tonight that the Raiders game is somewhere between weeks 1 and 4. What does that do for you? Kirk Cousins is playing quarterback.
It's all right. Browns are healthy, presumably.
Okay.
I got them 2. Jets on the road. Not a gimme. Winnable. 3.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
Saints on the road. Not nothing. That's a, I know it's a toss. So that's 4.
they're going to win in the division somewhere. Can I get two wins in the division? Playing Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincy twice, can I get two of the
maybe
of the six?
You got one off of us last year.
All right.
Sure.
If I get two of the six, that's my six.
I'm still taking the under.
You know what their over-under is for the year?
5.5?
6.5.
Okay. So Vegas is with you.
I'm shocked you're not you wouldn't err on my side of this.
I just don't think that any of the teams that you're identifying as teams that they can get, those teams are looking at it the same way.
We got the Browns.
We're playing the Browns.
All right.
That's all.
What about Jacksonville?
Get right game.
What about Jacksonville? What about Tennessee? What about, like,
those are coin flippish, especially Tennessee. Where these games are slotted is going
to
be interesting.
Six.
I hear what you're saying. And I hope for a lot of my friends that are Browns fans that that is the case, that you're right.
Well, they're not. Listen, they're not going to throw a parade for six. They'd actually probably rather win two.
Right.
If it's going to be six.
Right.
They host Houston, Indy, Atlanta, and Carolina.
What is the fewest amount of wins that the Browns can have but still be optimistic about their quarterback heading into 2027?
Hmm.
If Deshaun or this may be a tease for a later segment.
It's a teaser.
It's a good question.
Yeah. It's a teaser.
Don't let us forget that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then up next in the Buckeye Bulletin. Boy, I'm very sad now that I'm going this alone. I thought I was going to have support. I'll do it. Joe Boo, I'll do it myself.
Maybe when I see the schedule tonight, I may come over to your side tomorrow. How about that?
Okay. The way it lays out.
I'll write this in pencil right now.
All right. Are the Buckeyes still in on this quarterback? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Grilling season.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Common Man and Timmy.
I want to know what it's like to be a couple inches taller.
You're 6'1".
I know. I'll be huge. I'm 6 foot. Don't give me the extra inch.
Whatever the hell.
No one is.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on The Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, a little Buckeye Bulletin for you. You guys were gone yesterday, but you knew that Ohio State, Texas will be a night in Austin.
I love it.
I know
Buckeye fans are like, man, you know, we want more of those games here at night. Right. You know what I mean? But
tell that to Fox.
Exactly. The build up all day for that one in that environment, it's going to be as good as it gets, right? As
coming off
cinema, as the kids
battle
say.
Battle tested.
Yes. That right, ramp Maddie? Up game against Ball State. They're going to be locked in. But yeah, that is on my bucket list of college football venues for sure. Is that one down there in Austin? And they're going to want to get their look back for sure after what happened up here. But for both quarterbacks right out of the gate, for Julian and Arch, I don't know who Texas is playing the week before. I can't imagine it's anybody of significance. But for both of those guys, that is going to be one of their first opportunities to stamp yourself as potentially the guy, right? Because the entire world's going to be watching. Have to imagine there's going to be plenty of scouts and GMs and all that stuff down there.
Texas
for sure.
State.
Texas State.
Dang it. State I was going to guess.
So it's Texas State. So yeah.
All right. How about this?
Well, I would have said.
Have you looked it up already?
No. I was going to say, I promise you it's an in-state G5 school. I would have guessed UTSA.
This might be easy or it might be hard.
Okay.
Core Power.
Okay. Ooh.
Gatorade like Zero.
$7 a pop, too.
I might start needing some G Zero.
Sexual chocolate. And G Zero?
G Zero.
All right. What is Texas State's nickname?
So their mascot.
I know it.
Oh, you do?
Oh, so
you
I do. Know this. So I'm not going to. Now, I'll play our joint theme music if you get it right, but I'll let you answer because I know it.
Well, you got it, so I probably owe you one.
I just need to know which theme song to play.
Power Core.
So in my mind.
Flavor of my choosing.
Whatever the cheaper one is that day.
Exactly. Whatever's on sale.
In my mind, fellas, they are some kind of cat.
What would
like
bring
a wildcat jaguar?
What would bring you to that?
I don't know. This is just a guess.
Okay,
I'm gonna go the Texas State Wildcats.
I don't think that is a point.
No,
I know that's my own theme music. Oh, okay. I'm the only one.
You are gonna get the Garrick Higo half point two stroke. You were so close.
In state here.
The fact that...
Oh, they're the Bobcats.
Yeah.
Not Wildcats. Oh.
Wildcats is a safe guess, though. If we're just talking college football nicknames...
I got it wrong.
When in doubt, Wildcats, Tigers.
Mm-hmm. It's a good call.
I mean, it's...
Start there. It's close AR, but I got it wrong.
It is a Wildcat, the Bobcat. So it's not like you were that far off. Like I said, a half a point.
Squares and rectangles.
I'll bring you a half of Gatorade.
Oh, like the mini ones? You know they got the little mini ones.
I can bring you the minis.
Yeah, you can bring that.
What flavor do you like? Flavor Flav?
Like a little purple.
All right.
Rocking heavy with
I
the
noticed
recently.
That they're trying to dilute them a little bit in a healthier way.
Yeah.
They're taking the dye out. We're trying to make them a little clearer.
Oh, I haven't noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Taking out the red dye 40.
I've seen the new Caitlin Clark Gatorade commercial, and that one is less sugar. So I go like Gatorade. There's a new one out there. Yeah. It's like 75% less sugar in this Gatorade or something.
They've marketed it as lower.
Lower sugar. Yeah, that's what that is. Okay. Yeah.
Which is
not
relative.
None. Lower.
Lower.
Right.
Which is just lower relative what? To whatever that's the standard right. was. If the standard was a ton and you take away a little, that's still a lot of sugar, but it's lower.
No doubt. Okay, so Texas State on one side. Their ramp up is Texas
Ball
State.
Ball State on this side.
And Ball State.
For the people who don't know this, the background of this. We were discussing Ohio State's schedule months ago, and Maddie casually just threw out, you know, you got the ramp-up game against Ball State, and that's when we both, like, jumped you.
It's a gauntlet.
Ohio State quarterback commit Brady Edmonds is still thinking things over. Is this sound you have for this?
No, but
okay.
I have
I can
some,
give you the story.
Oh, go ahead.
On three, reported that Edmonds, who's the 2027 kid from Huntington Beach, California. Wow, why would you ever leave? Said that he's heard from a handful of different schools recently, Matty. Last week, he posted on social media that UCLA...
Well, he may not be leaving.
...had come to see him at his school. Well, why wouldn't they? Unless they thought they had no chance. Now, as Ohio State's pursuit of a second quarterback in the class continues, he's keeping things open. He's meeting with Ohio State on the 20th in 6 days.
Okay.
That'll clarify something. Added that while he still loves Ohio State, he wants to, quote, protect himself and stay out in front of this.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but we're in LA.
Recently, reports surfaced about Ohio State's interest in adding a quarterback to the class. Maybe that got him a little bit. What do you need to add, anybody?
Mm-hmm. They've gone out to Cali recently for what? Both CJ and Julian. That's worked out. Well, you ask a very important question at the presser. Why would you leave Cali? But at the end of the day,
you want to win. You want to go for the money.
For the love of the game. A little bit of the coin, too. I'll leave Cali for a while.
What is Burt Reynolds saying, Smokey the Man? For the glory, for the fame, and the money. Mostly for the money. We'll come back top of the hour and get into our deep dive.
Don't forget your question.
You did tell him.
You have a mystery question.
You did tell him.
Not a mystery question, but it's an update on something. Thank you. We'll have that. And the toughest path back, it's probably this team. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
She started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings from 6 to 9 here on The Fan. You think that a radio lifer and a national title winner wouldn't have much in common, but you'd be wrong. They're both girthy, they both love football, and they both get racially profiled for completely different reasons. It's like driving to work with your friends, except these friends give away tickets to things and talk to all the important people in town. Your actual friends are probably a bunch of losers. Well, anyway, listen to T-Bone and Tybus live on the Fan app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Care Heating and...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
89.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Isaiah Jacob. In the NBA, the Cavaliers now sit one win away from advancing after their comeback victory over the Pistons gave them a 3-2 series lead. Cleveland stormed back from a double-digit deficit late in regulation to earn its first road win of the postseason. The series shifts back to Cleveland tomorrow night for Game 6 at 7 p.m. Right now, the Cincinnati Reds are taking on the Washington Nationals. They're up 6-0 in the bottom of the fifth. They'll head up to Cleveland tomorrow for their series against the Guardians. In the PGA Championship, it's now underway. Scottie Scheffler getting ready to open up his title defense. The world number one tees off at 2:05, looking to win back-to-back PGA Championships. This update is sponsored by the BMI Federal Credit Union. Voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Final hour of the program, our friend Pete Futek, College Football News, bottom of the hour. The update I wanted to give you was the parlay bet that you placed for us took a hit. I don't know if you knew that.
Is he not playing?
I feel like he withdrew. He's got a wrist injury. He's probably done. Alcaraz won't play the French. And we have him in the parlay.
He was one piece of our three-legger, right?
Yeah, we hit the first with the whatever the Steeler-Raven game. Then we put Alcaraz to win the French. We put the Dodgers to win it all. But now he's got...
Dodgers to win the NL.
Oh, to win the NL just to get to the World Series. So, yeah, so we're done. He's out.
But would that...
To the two legs ride? Like, at a much lesser rate?
Fellas, we got voided.
We did get voided. Okay.
Yes.
So you got your principal back.
Yes.
I thought you did. Because you placed the bet before the injury.
Mm-hmm. So all we right. had the so two... We had the two different bets going. They were two $25 parlays. Both were supposed to win somewhere in like the $350 to $400 range.
This was our holiday gift from TLC.
Yes, this is my Christmas right. gift.
I felt
both.
Guilty.
So in both parlays, we had Carlos Alcaraz winning the French Open. We had the Dodgers winning the National League. And then the Steelers were the split. We had one where we had them missing the playoffs entirely because this would have been pre-Ravens game, I guess. And then we had another part, which obviously that one canceled. But we did have one where they lost in the first round. So Steelers lose first round. That parlay stays alive. Alcaraz now voided for the French Open. And so now all we need is the Dodgers to win the National League. So that reduces those odds down to $25 to win $174.
Oh, so that's what I said. We're getting it at a lesser rate.
Yes.
Okay.
But so we're still alive.
The entire bet wasn't voided. All right, that's what I thought you meant. Okay.
Dodgers currently with the fourth best record in the National League behind Atlanta, the Cubs, in San Diego. So we're in decent shape there,
too. And Otani's hitting like a pitcher right now, so just let him figure it out, and we'll see. So
you got a dinger from him the other day.
He did. He finally ended the streak.
Yeah, but that was basically a Cal Raleigh streak that he broke. And by the way, if your name is being invoked next to Chris Davis from that year, that ain't good.
Not where you want to be.
So that's where we stand. $25. Okay. It was to win like 350-ish. Now it gets brought down 25 to win 174, but we only need the Dodgers to win the National League.
And we were going to include you in this. It was going to be like a team dinner. So it was almost like a bet you couldn't lose if we won. It was
like
you would have been involved in it.
If we lose, it's on me, but if we win, we split it three ways. That sort of thing? Because it was a holiday.
If we win, we were going to use the money to go out on the town.
Oh, okay.
You would have been involved in that. It wouldn't just be Maddie and I.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, give us that cash.
We can use this 174 to pay the 20% tab on whoever has to pay the bill for the dinger draft when that's a $500 tab.
That is going to be rough for me. Like that's, I mean, it's going to be fun.
The amount of mental hedging that you're doing right now,
that's right.
You're one behind your boy. You're good. You're
two guys on the DL. I'm not good.
Suarez hasn't given you anything, though.
So I'm saying you're in good shape.
Riley's the one who he was actually hitting some bombs.
Need Alonzo to start hitting.
You've kind of been playing the it's bad card for your team.
Is this bad?
For the last few weeks, and it really turns out to be it's never that bad.
Yeah, you've been negative about this.
And you guys want to switch places? I mean, I lost two guys. Like, I'm in the worst shape. I understand that I'm not like.
No, but I guess I think where TLC and I are kind of getting at is when you bring this up, the tone. Is so down and out.
And you know what's funny, Maddie?
In Beverly Hills?
Is that when we were talking about an hour ago about the possibility of doing like a touchdown draft, and we were coming up with all these ideas for how can we take the dinger draft and, you know, put it into the NFL and just to kind of keep the game going for us. I think you stepped out in the middle of a commercial break. I said to Rothman, because he was worried about like the imbalance of quarterbacks and how that could work out and how that could affect it. And I said, well, what if we did like daily fantasy where every Friday on the show, we draft a new quarterback, running back, wide receiver for the weekend. And then he said, and this is going to shock you because of everything he's saying about baseball. He said, no, I like the idea of being married to a player the whole season. And I'm thinking, all you do is complain about the dinger draft. All you do is complain about all the guys that you're attached to all year long.
The guys that are injured.
But he wasn't getting married to him.
Well, we could have
the labor of love.
What I'm saying is we could have the same rule. You said IR 4 weeks. Like, mm-hmm. You could replace him starting at zero. Mm-hmm. Like, you could do that. Mm-hmm. Agent zero. Okay. Like, we could do that.
Okay. I know you well enough to know now that you love a good mental hedge. And you love a little, what is it, the under-promise and over-deliver?
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm lowering the expectations for my team.
That's what's happening here, TLC. Okay.
What I'm doing.
So we can't let our guy AR fool us with a little trickery. Mm-hmm.
You know,
because that's what's happening.
I have a friend who does that. He talks really confidently until he like makes a bet with one of his friends. And then as soon as he makes a bet, then all he talks about is negative. So that way he's cushioning the impact if he loses. And it's like,
you've described every gambler in the history of time.
Some are arrogant and, you know, stick their chest out when they haven't been humbled enough, but he'll run his mouth up until the point where he has the chance to lose, and then it's like, oh, it's so negative to where he's protecting himself so that way whatever you say can't get to him because he's already got
We've
to himself.
We've all been riding our own wave on this. When Maddie got dumped, he was upset. Now my guys are getting dumped, and I'm upset.
That line that like, you used could be, you know,
I was about to say.
Could be applied to my real life.
Well, I said riding the wave, meaning like got dumped off the surfboard.
And look, y'all, I apologize. Feel really bad, but it is what it is, y'all. Again, I do apologize, but what can I do? We never plan for these things, but they happen, and sorry, I do apologize. Look, you just have to learn from it, and like, I apologize, I do.
Thank you. Maddie's ex.
Do we know what that's from?
Yes, I put it in the system.
What's it from?
I'm not telling you.
Oh.
It's better if you don't know. It's not from anything. It's Maddie's real ex. I just put music underneath it.
From Maddie's voicemails?
Called up and said, hey, I need a drop.
I don't think I'd delete voicemails either. Because I know we were talking about that the other day, how you may delete some texts
every once in a while. You run out of room.
I don't think I get voicemails.
That's the other part too.
It's like, I don't want to say, you don't even really,
if it's not my mom or my dad, nobody's really
going to
run out.
Well, everybody knows calling you not to leave a message. You're not going to listen to it. And so your inbox is always fresh. Mine always get the, hey, you're running out of room.
When we looked back at my text, I had text that went all the way back to 2016.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
I have a voicemail.
Can't have a 10-year-old text
in your phone. About unread text?
Right here that's dated 11/26/18 is a voicemail I have in here.
From?
It's an unknown number.
Okay. This might be worth, this is Al Capone's vault. We may have to open this up and see what's in it. Why not?
No, I'm a little
live on the air.
I'm a little nervous.
Live on the air.
I'm a little nervous.
Peel and reveal. Would that be something?
But yeah, I need to be better at that. But like TLC said, not that many people are calling me. If you need me, text me. I'll get right back to you.
I understand that part of it. But if it's going to be, if you need something just simple, you want a quick question answered, but
it could be a quick text too.
This generation of not talking to anybody.
You millennials.
Yeah, I mean, just the generation of just not talking. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's better than being a screenager. I'm not a screenager.
That's an amazing phrase. I had not heard of that.
Screenager? Yeah, that's the kids now.
That's pretty good.
Like, it's all you see, kids now on their tablets, everywhere. They're screenagers.
Mm. Spoken like a coach of youth baseball.
Yeah, do you guys, do you have any rules over there?
Got the Ripple hat on.
Do you have any rules?
What do you mean?
Like no cell phones, we're at practice, no checking them.
Oh, yeah, no.
Put them away.
We're not doing that.
Not doing what?
No phones during games or practices.
There is a rule then.
Yeah.
All right. Is it a written, like you've instructed?
No, we're coming up with it. I'm coming up with this on the fly right now.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah, we can't have kids with, you know, phones during games and stuff, unless it's an emergency. Other than that,
well, how would you know it's an emergency?
Coach Ice pops just scrolling through TikTok.
Coach Ice,
you're coming to sit next to me.
Coach Prime.
McGruby don't play like homie, and homie don't play like
that. That's what they call me, though. They do.
They call you Coach Ice.
They do.
Oh,
yeah, they do.
Oh, well, I should clean up my act on the show. The youth are listening.
This is unbelievable.
Those screenagers, man. I'm telling you.
Well, they're going far, man, because they're riding the wave of technology. They're in it at the right time, I guess.
They're too far gone if they're texting each other in the same room.
I'm wondering, so we've got some analytics. We'll have the schedule coming out tonight, but we do have some analytics on who has the hardest schedule in the NFL.
Okay.
And then it's probably the toughest path back, and we'll decide if that's the case. And then the other part of this is which teams sucked last year, they will definitely be in contention this year. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
This is Corey Sick.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Fan is headed to the Memorial. Are you ready for 30 hours of live coverage? Oh, it's true, baby.
Sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling.
Thewaterworks.com.
The best Memorial coverage. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a partly sunny day today and cool with breezy winds and temperatures in the mid to low 60s. Skies turn mostly clear tonight as lows plunge into the upper 30s to low 40s, but we end the work week mostly sunny and it will be a tad warmer as our daytime highs get into the low 70s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
T-Bone and Tyvis are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, the NFL's annual schedule release coming tonight. People are preparing already with the leaks and the strength of schedule and all that. I get into it a little bit. It's fun. It's fun to see the way your team, how the schedule lays out, where your bye weeks are. Are you front-loaded, back-loaded? Are you facing division rivals right out of the gate or not? Like, I think that does matter. And the Bears were one of the biggest surprises of last year, right? They went 11-6. They won the North. And replicating that is not going to be easy because they have the hardest schedule in the NFL on paper. So they're just two teams have a schedule strength of 540. Chicago sits at 550, which is the toughest in the NFL. Meanwhile, whatever the Dolphins over-under is, bet the under.
Yes.
And then, so there are two big reasons why the Bears' schedule is so difficult. The strength is based on the opponent's record, as I mentioned. And every, team in the NFC North had a winning record last year. That's unheard of. I can't remember the last time that would have happened. The other thing is the Bears have to deal with the fact that they'll be playing a first-place schedule. And that could be rough on them. I mean, the Eagles should be in good shape.
Patriots, Jaguars, Broncos, like all these teams that were first-place teams from last year, running into some of those, it's not going to be easy.
This was, when I was talking about the Browns, like if you're looking for one team that could surprise, I wasn't going to name the Browns. It wasn't like I wasn't going all in on that. But having the easiest strength of schedule, and here's why it matters. The AFC team with the easiest schedule has finished with a winning record in 8 straight seasons. I know this would be a bet of four history, including last year when the Patriots, I'm not turning them into the Patriots, went 4-13 and then turned into 14-3.
Would that make Todd Monken?
Yeah. Wait, say that again?
Would that make Todd Monken Mike Vrabel?
Yes. Don't make critical mistakes. Over the past 3 years, the AFC team with the easiest strength of schedule has improved their record by an average of, get this, 7.7 wins.
And wait, I'll say it again?
I don't know how this could
be. Yeah, what is
can
that?
Can you repeat that? That's like,
over the past 3 years, the AFC team with the easiest strength of schedule going in has improved by an average of almost 8 wins. Now, all three of those teams had a new head coach going into the season. Guess what the Browns have?
They got
I'll give you the teams, unless you want to try to guess them. Why don't you just tell me the teams you're talking about? I'll tell you. In 2025, it was the Patriots. They bounced back in a massive way. Had the easiest strength of schedule. Mike Vrabel comes in, and they end up making a run all the way to the Super Bowl. That's not the Browns.
Yep.
Can I guess the year before?
Sure you can.
My guess is the Denver Broncos.
Incorrect.
Dang it. So this is two years ago?
This team would have gone 5-12 in 2023.
And they made what leap?
And they had the easiest strength of schedule. This is why I'm throwing all the analytical stuff. And they took advantage of it. They wound up going 11-6.
Was it Washington?
It was not Washington. It was an AFC team. Remember, the beginning, the three AFC teams.
Okay, the draft order would have been...
And they took advantage of it by going 11-6. And they made the playoffs in this head coach's first season on the job.
That's why I was thinking of Sean Payton.
Chargers. Oh. The Lightning McQueens.
Chargers, there we go.
Oh. 2023.
Joe Walt, yeah.
Now, this team went 3-13-1 in 2022. They were handed the easiest strength of schedule by any AFC team. Ended up being a surprise playoff team in this coach's first season as their head coach. I'm not making this up.
So what are you telling us?
I'm telling you the Browns are going to win at least 6. This is telling me they should win 12 or 13.
Can I guess
that's not happening?
Can I guess that team?
Yeah.
They drafted second and third overall. Houston Texans.
Yes. Okay. So they were 3-13-1, and they wound up going 10-7 in DeMeco Ryan's first season. That's all I'm saying. They have a new coach and
print the shirts. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if the shirts say 6-11, print them all you want. I mean, last year the 49ers were in the exact same spot as the Browns. They had the easiest strength of schedule.
They also got to play both South divisions.
Let me ask you
this. I'm not making it up. And they went 6-11. They wound up going 12-5.
How much better?
I want one win more. That's it. Not 7.7.
How much better in our minds was the Niners roster last year at this point than where the Browns roster is currently? Because to me, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we were questioning where the Niners were going to be with some new faces on defense and all that, but it still came back to Purdy and CMC and Kittle and that cast of characters that we know. I just don't feel that way about the Browns.
So the Browns, you're saying, are going to break my history of that, like where the team with the easiest strength improves significantly.
It feels that way to me. I don't see a significant.
What if the Shaun of the Dead rises?
Well, it's the ultimate what if. I just don't think that scenario is going to present itself either, to where we're talking about him being a viable option for them in the future. I don't see it.
Read me. You have their schedule again.
Who you need?
The Browns.
I can find it.
I think they'll beat the Jets.
Okay.
I know it's on the road. I think they'll beat the Titans. Is that game at home?
The Titans will not be coming to Cleveland.
I think they could beat both those teams. I think they'll beat the Raiders. I think they'll beat the Falcons. I think they very easily could beat the Saints. Tampa, Indy, maybe. The pick off one or two in the division just by being a rival. And maybe Carolina. I swap Carolina out for somebody else. You don't get it all. All I'm telling you is I can get them to six. They're playing so many teams that I think that they can compete with to get me to six and get this dinner. You really want to get that meal, don't you?
Can I follow up on the question from earlier?
Yeah.
How many wins do the Browns have to get? Or let me rephrase. Already. I haven't even made it that far. The fewest amount of wins the Browns can get while still feeling confident in their quarterback position to not draft one in 27.
I don't know.
Nine.
Mm.
9-8.
9-8.
9-8 would do it.
Does the belief have to be rooted in wins, though?
And by the way,
because I don't think it does.
Does it change whether it's Deshaun?
Rare if it's not.
Do Deshaun and Shador have different answers to that question?
Hmm. Yeah, with the amount of games they're each going to play, sure.
Is a 9-8 with Shador the same as a 9-8 with Deshaun? In terms of
without seeing the games the next year. Going on Maddie's idea of not knowing how the games will play out, not knowing if the defense is winning these games or if they're winning in spite of the offense, like those are the things you can't know. But
to answer his question directly, AR, I think a 9-8 with Shador has the streets popping off a little bit more.
The 9-8 with Deshaun comes with the biggest problem that I've been saying on the show for weeks. Comes with a massive price tag. And I don't think that's...
See, I don't know if it does.
Comes with a pretty big one. It doesn't come with a Shador price tag.
What if it came with a big price tag for 2 years?
60 mil? More? That'd be cheap. I don't think they're going to do it. I think if you could get them for Darnold money... 28, 27 million, somewhere in that area. Off a 9-8 season where he's healthy, presumably coming out of the season, he played most, if not all, of the games, and he's a 31-year-old quarterback, and you can get him for...
You do the deal all day and tomorrow.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You don't love it, but you'll do it because you're in business to compete. I once went on an interview in this business for a TV job years and years ago. And I'm sitting with the GM, and he says, Anthony, answer me a question. Why do you think I need two sports guys? I said, well, let me answer that question with a question. How competitive do you want to be?
Mm.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the question. So I'd ask Jimmy Haslam, if you're not going to spend the money, how competitive do you want to be? Like, I'm not here to tell you to spend your money, but... He's probably got PTSD from the trade he made, and now he's willing to run it back and see because he's in the competition business.
Mm-hmm.
And so a year from now or whatever, the season's over, if they have a good feeling coming out of it and he's healthy and they won 9 games and there's hope and he clicks with some of the new receivers, then all of a sudden you feel like,
hey, our floor just got a little higher.
I guess where it gets really interesting to me is if we're living in a world where Deshaun plays well, but it only equates to 4 wins. But he's fine.
I don't know how well he could really play if they're only winning 4.
I'm just saying, honestly, if he's fine, he's not hurting the team, but he's also not an aircraft carrier. And you're finding yourself in that window in the draft where you can get a quarterback. What do? Then
they probably do it because what that's telling me is they were willing to let Shadur sit on the shelf for a year after playing a lot this year, and so they obviously don't have a ton of confidence in him unless training camp comes around and he clearly is not the winner of that battle.
I think both guys are going to play an even amount of games, start an even amount of games this year.
Guess the game you'll get to play tomorrow when that happens. Because we'll be able to look at their schedule, and if we presume that Deshaun's going to start the year, you can get to predict, all right, when is it wrist-up time? When is it Shadur time?
It's going to shock me if he's the starter, that being Deshaun week 1, and he goes start to finish, from opening scene to credits. I just don't think that that's going to happen. So I think both will
from
play.
From a health standpoint or a performance standpoint?
Performance. I'll live in that world right now. Mm-hmm. Performance. So I think they're going to have their answer when they get to the finish line either way.
Yeah.
They'll know.
But I think we've arrived at 9. 9 gets you into a real, okay, we've won more than we lost. We got near the playoffs, didn't make it. There's some momentum.
Then
they probably want to ride that momentum.
You run it back.
And 9, I'm coasting to that dinner. I don't have to wait till the end of the season probably. Because if I get my 6... Who knows
when I run it up that next Monday
in the first 12 or whenever I get it.
Get dinner the next day.
I can't believe you're not on my side on this.
It's in pencil right now.
Wow.
We'll come in here tomorrow. Then I'll write something.
I brought you in to protect me against him. The only guy I have on my side is a blood-sucking lawyer. All right, we're going to come back in 2 minutes. Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, Rothman and I.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The most wonderful people in the history of Western civilization. Rossman and Ice, 97.1 The Fan. It doesn't get any better than this.
All right, he's our guy, Pete Futek. It's been a minute. Publisher of collegefootballnews.com, one of our favorites, with us now on the Bryant Heating Coin Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Pete, my man, how you feeling?
So what do I have to do to be the favorite? Like, what of? I'm not going to say it's not bad, but, like, what do I have to bring to the table? You know, snacks? Mm. You know, a little soft shoe? I'm not sure what I need to bring to be the favorite.
Yeah, well, if you want to use the word "the" in Columbus, Ohio, we need to charge you a licensing fee. Yeah. So if you want to be the favorite, there's a cost with it.
Gosh darn those people. And it worked because, like, I typed Ohio State University the other day. I'm like, that doesn't seem right. I'm like, God, the branding worked. Boo. A little pretentious thing actually happened. All right, well, all right.
We can work. We'll work up to it.
I'll do my best.
We'll work with you.
I'll do my best on this.
All right. Are these coaches secretly supportive of a 2014 playoff? Like, if you ask them maybe publicly, they might be like, you know, the regular season's valuable. It's got a lot of tradition. But are they all secretly like, hey, make it 24. I'll take an extra at bat every year. Do they secretly love it?
I think to a point because, yeah, of course you want that. The problem with the playoff in for coaches is that in the bowl system, if you have 41 bowls, you have 41 teams finishing their season with a win. And, like, we live in, you know, our football bubble, you know, we know everything about this and everything. We have to remember that, like, 94% of people who care about football just kind of want the party and want the fun and like, yay, my team won a bowl game. Whee! And so then everyone's happy. So if you're a coach and you win your last game of the year, you're happy. The problem now with the playoffs is you go to the Final Four like James Franklin did 2 years ago and you're whacked the next year. It doesn't buy anything. So I guess if you're the coaches, you kind of want it. But the ones who really want it, I think, are the athletic directors in the schools. Because you saw what happened last year with Notre Dame, Kansas State, Iowa State. All these schools were like, yeah, we don't really want to go to these bowl games. Because they lose, one, they lose all their players to begin with. They don't have a real team. And two, they lose money on bowl games. So I think the real people who want this expansion are the schools, because they don't want their teams going to mid-level bowl games and just like, blah, nobody cares anymore, unless they're part of a bowl playoff system.
Pete, what number do you want? Because one of the big reasons why I don't love where we are and where we're headed is what I think it does to the regular season and taking away some of the excitement and, I guess, how meaningful those games used to be, right? That's one of my beefs with this. So when you look at the expansion of the CFP, what's the perfect number in your opinion?
You guys are ground zero for this argument because, yay, you beat Michigan. Woo! And, like, for years I was saying, like, who cares? You lost to Michigan. Go win the national title. You know, then, but, like, in this case, it's the reverse. It's like, okay, you beat Michigan. I know for a huge chunk, yeah, that's absolutely everything, especially last year. And then you get wiped out in the Big Ten championship in the first round. So, okay, you know, second or whatever it was. So, yeah, okay. I agree with you on that. I kind of have no problem with the 12. My thing would be is if you had like a play-in way to do this. Like last year, having both James Madison and Tulane, I get it. You've got to have a mechanism for teams to say, come into the season and say, yeah, if we win out, we can get into the playoff and get our shot. Okay. And that's, you get a blowout, but you had your chance and here's your t-shirt and move on. I think last year, if you had just had an extra two, and had a play-in game, and you had Tulane going to BYU, James Madison going to Notre Dame, and the two winners of that, then you got your starter 12-team tournament. I think that would be about perfectly. And you know, let me frame it this way. Remember, even with 12 or 14, they're still only talking about like 9% of all college football teams getting the playoffs. You cut in the play-in game, which you really kind of have to, 67% of all NBA teams get in. You know, to the playoffs. You know, 50% of baseball teams and hockey teams, and you know the NFL is like at 40%. So it really is like small percentage of teams. You still have to work your way to get into it. 24 seems a little bloated to me.
Let's bring you into the Big Ten. The team not named, Ohio State, that PFU Tech is most intrigued by at the moment is whom?
UCLA. I'm not going to say that. You know, it's going to be round two of the Cignetti era when you get the James Madison head coach to come in and take over this. But they already have a good base, but they're doing it again now. So you remember with how Cignetti made this work, was he got all the good James Madison players to come with him over to Indiana on top of that base, and it all worked. I'm not saying that you're going to have quite a repeat of that, but UCLA's got a good quarterback in Yama Lava. They've got a pretty decent base, and now you've got the coach, and you've got the players coming in. They're not going to win the Big Ten or go to the college football playoffs, but they are an interesting team. The other one I can't wait to see, is Wisconsin going to score? I mean, you keep Luke Fickell around, okay. I guess you're saving money, and maybe you get a little bit of luck with quarterback, but they got this quarterback, Colton Joseph, from Old Dominion, who's a runner. They beefed up the offensive line again. And lost in the late part of the season was they beat Washington and Illinois all on defense. And that defense is going to be a thing. So I don't think it's going to be quite back to the days of glory. But I think Wisconsin is going to be one of those just X factors that annoys the heck out of everybody.
You know why they're going to score, Pete? Because they miss Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, and Michigan.
Amazing how that works. It is the biggest thing in college sports now. Who do you miss with your schedule? And it doesn't always even work out because, like, sometimes you look at a schedule and everyone's like, last year in Alabama, ooh, the gauntlet. Then you look at those teams and it's like, well, these teams aren't all that great. You know, they can beat these teams. They're like, look at, you know, if you, like you said, if you're missing, you know, the Ohio States and the Indianas and those types of teams, yeah, it matters now more than ever. And sometimes in these big, giant leagues, you miss everybody. And so, all right, go for it, Badgers.
Pete, what intrigues you more, how much Bryce Underwood develops with Whittingham or how much Matt Campbell impacts Penn State right away with all these transfers?
These transfers, it's amazing. He really did bring over everybody who's good from Iowa State. I mean, like an insane amount, like 20 players or something. Where Rocco Beck takes over, all of a sudden they're going to have more of a passing game. And that's another team. They had a good base to begin with, and I know James Franklin took a bunch of his guys with him to Virginia Tech, but that's I never quite bought into the Matt Campbell side of stuff, but you look at what Penn State's coming back with, that is a – you're taking all the players off a team that came really close to the college football playoffs a couple of years ago, including some top receivers and some really good running backs. You're putting them on Penn State. Now, one of them's going to Wisconsin, but they do get another one of them. So – that is a very dangerous team. I don't quite see how Michigan is appreciably better. They were pretty good last year. They still won, what, 9 games? I know Kyle Whittingham changes things a little bit. But, again, look at the schedule, and they're going to have no problem getting a 7 or 8 wins. It's going to be those extra 3 or 4 that are going to be really tough with that play.
How dangerous do you believe Notre Dame will be this season? Because, Pete, coming out of the draft, you know, people start rolling out their 2027 mock drafts. A lot of them that I saw did have CJ Carr in there as a top 15-ish type of guy. And so Notre Dame turning the page to 2026 with him under center, with Marcus Freeman rolling the sidelines as their head coach. How dangerous do you think they can be?
And very dangerous for the next several years. They are killing it in recruiting. Just they didn't even do much in the transfer portal because they don't have to. They are getting everybody. I don't know how they... they kind of figured out the NIL side of things. I don't know how they're paying for these guys, and partially because of that and because of Freeman and because of the whole vibe. But, man, they are going to be a thing for the next several years because they are loading up with talent. And, again, I'm not going to dog their schedule because they do play a ton of Power 4 teams. They do have the Friends with Benefits thing with the ACC, so they do have an actual, you know, schedule. They just don't have the killers without a USC on there now, and you know, they don't have the big, you know, brutal games. But they do play some tough, they have tough games. They do get, I believe, Texas A&M again. Maybe they don't, but they somebody tough early. But yeah, I'm buying in. That is a team that has to be at least 11-1 because they've got a ton of talent, and they feel very, very aggrieved for whatever that's going to be worth.
My man, great stuff as always. Thanks for connecting. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
You too, Pete Futek on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Started looking over schedules the other day and just seeing, like, teams are going to miss teams. Even Penn State's going to miss some teams. Both those teams are probably, like, Wisconsin and Penn State, as far as, like, getting fortunate with the schedule and getting a chance to kind of get into the Big Ten and feel good about it. I mean, look at Penn State. They don't play Oregon. They don't play the Buckeyes. They don't play Indiana. They get USC in Happy Valley.
Wow.
So,
real quick, let me ask you this, AR. Do you think when we go to 24 teams, whatever that number is going to be, we get more or less of the big-time matchups in the regular season? More or less of Ohio State, Texas? More or less of, I don't know, Ohio State and Alabama?
Well, I'd love to think they would do more because losing it doesn't have the same consequence.
I hope so, but then they may look at it and say, why do we need to play those games? We get to a certain amount of wins, we're probably in.
Yeah, and if your conference is perceived to be strong, you're going to get it there
anyway.
Help
there, yeah.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll tell the truth. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Oh, the schedule leaks. How many of them to believe?
More annoying, draft leaks or the schedule leak?
Draft. Well, the draft leaks come right before the picks.
Okay.
Kind of ruins the drama.
Okay.
You get all the way there and then it gets ruined. I think these are fun if I'm not sure it's going to happen.
I'm with you guys. The draft leaks by far the worst. I actually want the Ravens schedule to leak right now. Like, I want to look at the schedule. When it comes to the draft picks, I don't want to know anything.
Because I was looking at the Vikes.
What do you guys?
I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter about it, and I think we are getting the Packers in week one, like right out of the gate. And then going to Chicago. I don't love that.
Two back-to-back weeks, you guys are in the division.
That's what's leaking? That's what's leaking.
New segment now, on Rothman and Ice. What's leaking?
Now, if we get the Bills on a Monday nighter in Minnesota, that may be fun.
I don't like playing division games to start the year.
No, I don't either. And it happened.
I don't.
The Brownies, if you go back in their schedules, it'll happen like Bengals, Pittsburgh, and then one year it's not, and then it'll go back to it. So I never know. I agree with you. I'd rather have my schedule backloaded, try to ease into the season a little bit, but if you pick one of these off early, you're feeling damn
pole
good.
Position. Yeah.
You'd rather be home, so.
Yeah. Here would be my scheduling rules. I think that the first week and final week should both be all divisional opponents. I also think you should not play divisional opponents overseas. Neutral sites.
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
Because we began the year last year with Chargers and Chiefs in Brazil.
Well, somebody gives up a home game, though.
Yeah, and that's somebody what I don't like.
That's the bad part is that somebody's giving up a home game. Tell the truth.
Okay.
If I knew the Christmas schedule, would you want to know it right now?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah. It wouldn't be like a spoiler to me. Because there's too much with this stuff. Like, the whole draft thing. You're like watching pick by pick, so you're only spoiling one thing, but there's so much going on with the schedule that I can't keep track of 18 weeks of games, so it's like, to a degree, it doesn't matter.
Here's your unofficial Christmas triple header.
Okay. Okay.
Packers-Bears.
I like it.
Bills-Broncos.
Okay, especially after how that playoff game ended.
Rams-Seahawks. All three of those are awesome.
They really are.
Those are incredible. I'm
trying to think which one would I want to be at the most of those three.
They're all outside.
So we're at
Seattle.
Man. So well, Seattle,
not
Buffalo.
Denver.
Seattle,
probably.
Denver, and the other was.
Not Denver, not Buffalo.
I think it's Chicago, Denver, and Seattle.
I believe.
We got to go to Seattle.
Remember, it's a leak.
Just to protect ourselves.
We got to go to Seattle.
It's a Richard Leakey.
I can't do Chicago. No.
Or
late
Green
December?
Bay.
December? Exactly.
Mm.
That's a good Christmas triple header, though. That's good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Maybe you guys dispatch me down to Mexico City for the Vikes and Niners.
I can't keep up with the international sites anymore. I really can't. Because it was for a long time, we could all just like, hey, they're going to London. A few teams are going to go to London. Now, we're worldwide with this thing. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey.
Prestige worldwide, Matty.
I understand from the NFL side of things why they want it that way. But, yeah, you know, a lot to keep up with. That's for sure.
I think that there should be 16 neutral site games a year. There should be the 16 international games. And so that way you play in them, like you give up a home game every other year, mm-hmm. in a way, if that makes sense. So that means that 1 year you play in it. So like all 32 teams have to play overseas every single year. But you alternate which year you give up the home game, which makes sense because you have 17 games. So you can't have an equal number of home and away anyway. And so 1 year you have your international game serve as an away game, which it was already going to be because you're traveling. And the next year you give up the home game. So that's my rule. Okay. Now, 16 international games is a lot, but they're approaching that anyway.
All I wanted, if my team's playing overseas, I just want it to be a designated roadie, not to give up a home game. The other part is I don't like playing an international game and not having a bye week following it. I think that's that's a major disadvantage. I mean, the Vikes went over and played in Dublin and London last year. And like you said, they're going to Mexico City this year. But yeah, that's rough when you throw that. I would think that all teams should deserve a bye week built around their international game.
Makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, that's making sense to me. What else you got, TLC?
All right, tell the truth.
Which would you rather have, high cholesterol or HIV?
If you guys wanted to know what you missed while you guys were both gone the last couple of days, that's what you... In a nutshell, that was it.
What did I just hear?
Which would you rather have, high cholesterol or HIV?
How did you guys
and then
even
Bobby,
get there?
Bobby said, maybe we ought to put it on the fan poll.
How did that even get brought up, AR?
They're talking about Charlie Sheen.
It got brought up because Bobby was going down the rabbit hole of watching all these documentaries, and he's watched Charlie Sheen's, and he's amazed by his overcoming of adversity and everything that's happened in his life. And then I mentioned Magic Johnson. I said to him, like, hey, you know, I was around when I remember watching Magic reveal to the world. And then he looked at me and said,
which would you rather have, high cholesterol or HIV?
Before that, he said, who do you think's healthier, you or Magic Johnson?
Come on,
man. And I'm like, thanks. He goes, well, you've always told me about the high cholesterol. I got it under control, man. There's a beverage here, man.
Which would you rather have, high cholesterol or HIV?
It's quite a conundrum for my man.
That's what we missed yesterday.
Anything on the show from yesterday, that was it.
You missed anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and I, subscribe to the podcast as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Timmy is back in the building.
You come back tomorrow, you want to just do a one-day week.
I will be.
I would say, if I was you, I would have a quick relapse.
Oh.
And I would say, just coast. Why not?
I can't miss the win-loss show.
Plenty of time for that. We'll see you tomorrow. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
I've even hit a couple 340 in my life.
We're your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.